recording is in progress, guys. No one heard that except Connor and I, but this is 372 pages. We'll never get back. I am Michael J. Nelson. This is a podcast. People do that these days, right? They do podcasts. Isn't that a thing?
My mom forwarded to me an article in Parade magazine about the podcasting.
She was asking a question about celebrity, and then she's like, "Hey, as long as I got you on the horn, I may as well ask you."
Marilyn Vos Savant, the woman with the world's highest IQ, started a podcast, and she wanted me. She thought I would know about it. She cut it out and mailed it to me. That was
nice. Yes, yes, Actually, that was like 3 weeks ago. I did get a mailed-in piece of something from the newspaper. I won't say who it was from. It was not a young person. Can I just say that?
It hasn't happened in a while, but I'll still get a book gifted with the book review from the Washington Post or something cut out and attached inside of it. It's charming. Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah,
I do too. I think it's a charming thing that we lost. I remembered once that he's a famous person now. He's well known. He's a celebrity. And when I was young, I toured with this person.
Okay.
And then I got along with him well. At first we hated each other.
It's Wayland Flowers and Madam. Is that who you could say it was Wayland, right?
It was the puppet. It wasn't the guy. I hated the guy. I loved the puppet. Madam was like my, she just absolutely loved me. But I was embarrassed to say I sent him a letter like a couple months later, and he replied not long after that. And it's like I had gotten married and stuff, so he was like, "Hey, Mike, good to hear from you." So somewhere I have a letter from a famous person where I mailed him a letter. And he wrote back.
I thought it was going to be like not remembering you from the thing just a few months earlier.
No, it was, you know, he's like, yeah. But it was one of those things where, like, hated each other. Then a couple weeks later, like, yeah, man, I love you, man.
You look back on it fondly. Probably like we will with this book.
Sorry, I was delaying. I know.
You know, that happens with some of them. I think that happened with The Eye of Argon. We were sort of like, what is this? And then after it was done, we quickly realized that that was a charming and delightful book.
Well, let's be honest, that was much quicker than this book was. Sure. But anyway, okay.
We're wrapping up Caleb's Dream today. It is the 90,000 plus word book, Kindle book, available for $2.99 at Amazon, comes to an end today. And though it is 90,000 words, we rejected a book that was like 160,000 words. That this felt like that, I think, as we went through this. We don't need to wrap up our final thoughts here, but
yeah, and we don't need to be negative going into the final thing. I have a lot of positive things to say about what's coming up.
This book had a lot of laughs, and that's very good because otherwise it would not have been a pleasurable journey. But
exactly,
he keeps delivering. We're approaching the end of this book where a 15-year-old boy, his 13-year-old wife.
In one sense. And then becomes the, well, we'll get to
sure.
it.
Yes. She's a wife in the world of Tetelica, the second realm. There are four realms. Ohio is the first one.
Are there four realms? Oh, right. Well, I'll let you explain it. I thought there were three. Okay.
There is a demon war brewing that the fate of everyone hangs in the balance. And it is...
Yes.
They've, in the meantime, played the flute. They've gone to court over traffic violations. And they've had a hell of a lot of breakfast.
Lots of stews, breakfasts, pork. Breakfast stews, I think
whole there was pigs. There are breakfast stews,
roasted pigs.
They had something else completely absurd for breakfast, like meatloaf or something like that.
Mexican restaurants with his brother. Parking spaces,
two
from the door. Traditional
method of parking next to the door. He's also died twice. That's sort of burying the lead.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that. He's died a couple times.
And they've just been, as you know, I think Funkadelic said, standing on the verge of getting it on for the entire book. And that is looming in the background, which upon last episode being revealed, their exact ages, it was a little unsettling for people. However, all that is going to resolve itself in this final two chapters that we have here to cover. But before that, we have the email. We don't have any fanfic this time because obviously there's no more book to get, but we have the traditional email update from Lucas, our Elias baseball reference, Elias Sports Bureau guy. He says, thus, another book has passed, and another era of fan fiction has passed as well. There was, I think, four commas in that sentence. Yes. As you probably guessed, Mike's performance was quite poor this season.
Right. Okay.
He scored...
Is that the lead? Okay.
He scored a 1 out of 5, a 2 out of 5, and a 1 out of 5 for a total of 4 out of 15. And then he puts this into context. This is the first book Mike has scored 1 out of 5 more than once since Super Constitution. Overall, this is a historic moment in real or fanfic, because I am sorry to say that Kyleb's Dream has set the record for Mike's lowest performance ever.
Is he sorry to say, though, or is there a bit of glee in that? Let's be honest about that.
He scored 26.67. For context, the previous lowest score was for The Eye of Argon, where he scored 2 out of 6 for a percentage of 33.33%. So Mike's overall score has now dropped to 286 out of 485, which is 58.97%. So that's more than a coin flip. So give yourself a pat on the back for that.
I'm better than a weatherman, guys. Come on.
As for Connor, there's not much to say. He scored a 4 out of 5, raising his overall to 56 out of 84, which is 66.67, exactly 2/3. Thank you for playing, and I hope things improve in the future.
All right. Your sample size is very small, though, right?
It is. I guess yours has, in theory, normalized more than you could. I had more of this book to learn. And, you know, maybe there's something to the art of picking them. Maybe I'm more tricky about it.
Yeah, maybe.
You do it more often, realize what you'll bite on.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. One does not know. These are unknowns. There are known knowns. Yes. There are unknown knowns. All right.
It's good to start off by embittering your co-host. That's the way that most of these do.
Yes.
It's,
I start off as bittered, and then, but when you embitter me even more, it makes for a really good podcast.
Well,
no, I'm not bittered by these things. I think, I don't know. I don't take any pride in these things. Like, it's so hard. I would like put anyone up to this challenge and go like, you know, historical figures. Albert Einstein, I'm going to read you four pieces.
Yeah. He'd Marilyn like, Vos Savant from Parade Magazine.
Yes, 208 IQ. Yes. I don't know. Why are you asking me? I flunked out of math. All right. Okay.
So much more important things to do. Please.
Anyway. All right. Well, I take it on. So it's my, I accept it. It's fine.
You could ask Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the arena himself, because this first chapter is the arena. And it is, as some chapters were in this book, written entirely in bold. So it's a bold stylistic choice. It's sort of maybe a House of Leaves thing going on. Who knows?
Oh, yes, yes. I have a story. We should do a podcast mini about that. I know the guy who wrote that, and there's an amazing story about it.
All right, then. Yes, right. Write that down, and we'll
let
we'll
me just say
that.
This: a fight at a bar with the author of. All right. So there's a mini for you. Okay.
It turned out he was the guy that punched you at a wedding and got you kicked out by.
Oh, sadly, not the same guy, but similar story. That's
great.
For another time. Here we go. Yes. The arena.
And as you'll recall from the last episode, they are in the snowy mountains of like Thal or something like that with Hope, his parents, and her parents, who are separated from them and are imprisoned by a roving band of demons, like I assume chained up and being like, you know, whoosh, like where there's a whip, there's a way.
Yes. The parents from... Mountains. Ohio,
yes.
Yes, okay. Who just came to... This is this the second realm?
Yes. I think this is
there
part
are four
of
realms. You said
yes. Okay. One of them is ran by Lewis, and then the fourth one is just sort of it's the Ringo of the realms. It was mentioned it exists, yeah. But no one real nothing's going on there.
It's the what's the Marx brother that no one remembers?
Gummo.
Yeah, Gummo. Okay. The Gummo realm.
Yeah, yeah. They'll throw in too. They'll be part of the. It's the Ravenclaw.
Sure. Okay. So the plot. I mean, I know we're here now. It's like, but it's just taking little bits of things from other well-known things. So there's no reason to go into there. There's no plot, except yeah, for you, there's you a scheduled was, war. Like, who cares?
Right. There's a scheduled war and a wedding, essentially. So,
right.
You said, you know, this guy cribs from Tolkien, C.S. Lewis. I forget who
Chesterton. And Stephanie Meyer. That's his
Mount Rushmore.
And much more of Stephanie Meyer than anyone else, than the others. The others he has like a passing acquaintance with. But Stephanie Meyer, he's going deep on this stuff. Lots of spikes in this.
Lots of spikes.
I've forgotten about the spikes. And I don't know. I never played a video game where people have spikes or there is. Isn't there a spike, an actual character? I don't know what spikes mean in terms of like suddenly a spike. Like, I know, what is, I don't know.
Yeah,
what.
I guess it's just a stake that you throw like that and it, you know, it can penetrate and, you know, impale.
All right. Fair enough.
They have spikes. They have, I think revealed in this, that they have toe claws as well. They had Wolverine claws coated in plasma that he was slicing vegetables with. But he's fighting a demon, and it says, as he attacked, his claws fell from his knuckles, as did his claws from the first knuckle on his toes.
That was my first point. I was going to ask you, how are your toe knuckles doing? I just wanted to make sure. Is everything okay with your toe knuckles?
They are. They have been running a bunch, so they're like things, building up a little callus.
Yeah, things happen, you know. I bike a lot, I do whatever. Your toe knuckles, it's like, honey, my toe knuckles are feeling a little off today, but thank God his seem fine. And he has claws from, they fell from his toe knuckles.
Yes.
He attacked, and with much haste and anger, his claws fell from his knuckles, as did his claws from the first knuckle on his toes.
So the claws are falling with much haste and anger.
Much haste and anger, yes.
Sure, yeah. I think anytime you bring up your toe knuckles to your wife, you should wait till like the spoon, you know, of soup has entered the mouth, you know, the first a nice dinner, and then that's when you should drop any sort of new updates about the toe knuckles.
Well, I always wait for my wife to she's a clam woman, so she sits and eats yogurt off the back of a spoon and looks
she
at
filters
sun,
it right
at sunsets, and so then I'm like, you seem like a clam woman, how are my toe knuckles doing? And that really enhances, just for any married person, that's what you have to do to keep the spark.
I'd like to point out that you asked me weeks after it had been created and discussed, hey, do you still have that picture of the clam woman? I need to send that to a family member. Like, it's like, not sure what's going on the weekends here, but yes, I do still have the picture of the clam woman.
For what it's worth, this guy, this is my, it's a nephew, I talk to him a lot, and he signed off and he goes, you have a weird life, man. You have a weird life. It's like, I'll send you that clam woman picture. He's like, okay, all right. What are you up to, man? Got a weird job.
Yeah. So what he did, he's fighting the demon. He takes the form of an eagle. And, you know, I tip my cap to this place because I thought it was kind of cool. He grabs him in his eagle talons, flies far enough up into the cold mountain air to avoid freezing. But then before I returned to the ground, I flipped backwards and launched him far into the frigid air. A few moments, he came down and shattered, from being frozen. So it is like, Daffy Duck gets launched into the thing, comes down and shatters into ice cubes, and then his bill is still able to talk or something.
Yes, his bill comes flying back up, bounces off the ground, and goes, I hate you. And then, like, goes back to, isn't this from her perspective now?
Oh, God damn it. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's impossible to tell.
But then it switches, like, a couple paragraphs down. So who cares?
Yes.
But, yeah, I did say about that, like, I didn't quite laugh at that. But I expelled some air through my nostrils. So does that kind of count?
I think so. I mean,
you know, where you go like,
like a shouts and murmurs kind of laugh.
Yeah. But then you look back at it and you go like, he came down and shattered from being frozen. And you're like, meant or not meant? I don't know. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, do I credit it? Do I go like, all right, you know, or do I just go, God,
right, I think he panicked that he didn't trust the reader there.
Yes.
This is also a good thing. He says, we began to witness another battle. The humans, comma, our parents, had taken the offensive. Yes. So I think that's what we're working with in this order. He identifies them as the humans first and then goes on to describe them as our parents. So
I looked at this about like his parents visiting. And then they almost immediately, the parents, like, they hang around. Do they have some stew? I can't remember whether the parents ate stew or not.
Well, the whole reason they're here is because, after dinner, they're like, well.
Yeah, they're unbuckling their belts.
Like, you know, watch Wheel of Fortune or like.
Oh, the pie was good. Turkey was good. Like, I'm a ruler of another realm. And I have a pyramid.
Master.
Like,
yes.
What kind of bullshit is this?
Yeah. Look, I'm going to go fire one out and then we'll catch up with this pole king thing later. But then, so they went
cracks
there.
Cracks a Pabst and like hands it to him. All right, king, you want another Pabst? And then they go, right?
Yeah, that's why they're here. They were touring the capital, but then they got imprisoned by demons. And now they find themselves, listen to the sentence, both our mothers. There's this dazed demon. Both our mothers took hold of it and repeatedly slammed its head off the ground. Blood now ran from the fresh wound and covered the floor. Seconds later, the demon disappeared into the hellish realms. So, yeah, they pretty much came down here being like, let's see what our son is doing. He's building a treehouse somewhere, like a college visit. And then, cut to his parents, looking like something out of a, Tarantino movie, blood all over their faces. The moms are just slamming a demon into the ground.
Like shoveling the heads off of creatures from another realm.
Yeah, spitting out their own teeth.
Like my dad came to visit my college apartment, and he said, I got to use the can, right? And he goes in, then he comes out and he goes, you got to do something about that.
Yeah, I have no son.
It's like you.
A paper towel roll on the toilet paper.
And I was like, trying to figure out which part of it is he most appalled by? Which thing should I take care of first?
I had to wipe with the complete peanuts. That's a.
Yeah, but no, his face was—he had a demon head and his—and scissored off at the neck, and there was blood dripping from him. I'm like, Dad, come on, we're trying to keep the place clean.
That demon blood has a stench. You're going to want to give that 5-10 minutes. And then, so once you do that with your parents, your mom has killed a demon. He frees them, and then it says, "Good, now that's over. We should see about getting off this mountain. We walked for many days." So good to see you, Mom and Dad. How was that whole ordeal? And as they're walking for many days, I'm sure that they're being like, can't our son turn into a Nerfon and fly at supersonic speed?
Doesn't he have that stone feather thing? He said something about that. I think he warped us places with that, as I recall.
I would have thought he was making it up, but he can do all those things. He is quite super.
That stew was pretty good. It's hard to remember things once you've had that stew.
And that takes him to the White Horse Inn, which I think we had in the Reeler fanfic.
I believe we did have the Reeler fanfic.
Someone found a picture. I believe Mark, the guy that recommended this book in the first place, went looking to see if this was
Mark.
Something from the guy's life. Yeah. Oh, hi, Mark.
What a
he
great
found
story.
A White Horse Saloon on the outskirts of Columbus on the Chillicothe side.
Mm-hmm.
And he found a White Horse Saloon. I'll see if I can send you a picture of it. It looks like a liquor store that, has a guy outside of it, like as it opens at 9 a.m. There's a big neon sign that says Kino advertising it. It looks like one of the most depressing places in the world. So this is what Caleb is meaning to conjure up here. It's not the the Tolkienian, you know, tavern.
No, it's
the,
not
the fire
like,
going that you
what
went to,
hobbits. We don't get many hobbits around here.
Let me send you the White Horse Saloon in real time here.
Oh, Gandalf, Whitebeard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whitebeard and a 18-pack of the Silver Bullet. Well, you'll take
it. Yes. Oh, yes. Saloon. Wow. Oh, but I do notice the parking spots are what inspired the...
Oh, right. There is one right at the door for his mom.
Yeah, his mom is just welcome anytime. There is a place in South Minneapolis where I don't want to disclose my location. Maybe I gave something away there. Gosh, dang.
I think people know that you have a connection to the Twin Cities.
That's part dang. Of the lore. Wow, I gave it away. That they would have two policemen were on duty at the door of this liquor store. Like, it was a big liquor store, but it had two policemen constantly on duty. I'm sure they were just, you know, off-duty policemen who are like, sure, I'll take a job, you know, at this liquor store. But there was enough problems. So you'd walk out of the liquor store, you know, holding your, of course, 18-pack of Silver Bullet, and the cop mm-hmm. would be like, can I see your receipt?
Wow.
Like, wow. I didn't steal this, sir. I just paid money for this.
Right. Someone might be chasing me if that was the case. Yes. Well, this White Horse Saloon, the first review is from Rip 6 days ago, which says, inconsiderate people are always taking up the whole parking lot.
Like
there are two more businesses in the building. Caleb's mom. Give them my money to save the life. Yeah, so the front door is always taken. So anyway.
Wow.
We gotta.
Well, here's what they serve at this. So I wish you could see this picture, and I'm sure we'll post
it. Yes, we'll post it.
So you can scroll down and look at this picture, and then this description. They have I'm just going to read it as it is. I don't know what to do here.
I read this to Lauren this morning.
Did you?
Yes.
They have well wild game, comma, and bread with some other things, salad stuff like that. She seemed a little skeptical about the, quote, and then uppercase game, but smiled when I said salad, not in quotes. Well, in that case, I will have a salad. What did Lauren make of that?
She laughed out loud, and then I read to her the description of the meal, which she was editing on the fly. We ordered, sat and enjoyed the fresh food. This also reads like a Yelp review. The taste was as fresh and correctly cooked as could be managed, so it all went almost as quickly as it was handed to us. So the taste was correctly cooked, and it went almost as quickly as it was handled to us. So it's like... But so yeah, they have wild game and bread, and so her face is falling as they say wild game, bread. But then he says they have salad and stuff like salad, and she smiles when he says that. So the salad just brings a ray of joy to this woman who has probably not eaten in days. You know, frostbite has claimed several of her digits, but the salad
is
a ray of light.
So if you go to a place and they're like, what's good here? And, you know, the person like spits through her finger and is like, well, we got, you can have pigs' assholes, or you can have, you know, some snouts.
Yeah.
Or we got
some buckshot in the moose. I don't know. Eat around it.
You want testicles? We got those. Like, that sounds too spicy. Do you have salad? Hell yeah, we got a great salad. You don't trust the tail, right? You're like, salad, what kind of lettuce? Oh, lettuce? No, we use chopped up hog's tails. That's our salad. We call that salad.
Yeah.
You got a problem with that?
Hey, hi there, we got any more of that salad? Yeah. He'll make you a salad, yeah.
We have... seven types of microgreens, ma'am. Is that what you desire for? And then, of course, we have a extra virgin olive oil, which we do with a
estate-grown arugula from the parking lot next to the Kino sign.
Yes,
but they do enjoy it. It's a good meal. Everyone's happy, and they retire to their cozy, you know, fire crackling room. and then we've also talked about this part. He says, there's something I must do before we lay down. I stared at him. What exactly would that be? He smiled a slightly menacing smile. Watch, he answered. He now took to the center of the room and with much haste began to take the excess pillows from the bed and heave them into the already large fire. So this is something I found myself relating to this and enjoying this more in this final chapter, because if you've ever stayed at an Airbnb where they put 9 pillows on your bed and you're forced to just push them either onto the floor, or as I showed you, a place in Nashville that one time had a wicker basket that was expressly for the purpose of putting the decorative pillows into. It's maddening. I've wanted to burn them.
So yeah, this, we had a long offline discussion about this. My theory, this is of course why he wrote the book. How many words did you say?
90K.
Yes. This was all for this moment where he just wanted to tell his wife, hey, man, remember when we stayed at that Airbnb and you were like, this is charming? And I was like, so many freaking pillows on the bed. And she was like, would you just calm down? And then I took the pillows one by one and I put them in the closet, but there wasn't any room in the closet. So I kind of rammed them behind this. Remember that? How pissed off I was? Oh, I did not know you were pissed off. Yeah, well, I wrote a 90K book about it. So
got it out of my system, yeah. So
she reads to like 10K and is like, this book is terrible. I cannot.
Where are the pillows?
To the chapter where I went to the inn and I threw all the pillows in the already roaring fire?
You're
that of which now roared?
You're implying that the White Horse Saloon, where you lost our kids' college fund on Keno, is going to have a pillow room?
She's like, yeah, I stopped reading at the first that of which was on page 3. Oh, damn it! I wanted you to get to that part so you would feel my visceral. She's like, why didn't you just tell me? You know, why did you have to write a book about it? You should have just told me you don't like pillows. That's fine.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Can I call the innkeeper at the Airbnb and go, hey, man, how many pillows are on the bed? Like, I don't know. I don't do that stuff. I'm just the guy. Just like rent them out.
It is a thing that's, you know, if you have stayed in one of those before, it is not a common thing. But once you notice it, it's extremely frustrating and makes absolutely no sense because it's not your home. You know, this is something that other idiots are having to stack on the floor that other people are getting their hands and grubby things all over. And nobody,
this is another thing. We're rehashing a conversation we already had, but I said, does anyone get to a place that doesn't have the pillows and goes like, ha ha ha, we're not staying here anymore. There's no pillows stacked on the bed that we have to take off one by one and somehow find a space for. This place, 0 stars.
Yeah, like, they left us a bottle of wine. They had a whole snack tray. But what the hell is going on?
Pillowing up in here.
We need the little touches here at our, you know, $200 a night tall and skinny building in Nashville.
Yes. Who decided that?
But anyway, then there's more of the conversation. She says, certainly there is. Was there any reason for that tantrum? He said, certainly there is. And that would be, I don't like 30 pillows on my bed. And she says, I prefer to rest against you, not stuffed fabric. He said sarcastically. So a Ellisian sarcastic usage. So it's like,
oh,
so,
yes.
So do you do prefer to rest against the stuffed fabric? And then she says, well, maybe I prefer pillows over you. Did you ever think about that? And he says, so you're saying that you would prefer pillows over my warm, soft skin, which means I guess he stopped sleeping in jeans. Who knows at this point in time?
Yeah, anyway, well, he's 15.
It does strike you as a very, very actual argument that happened in real life. Doesn't matter, though. They burn all the pillows. I'm sure they release some sort of horrible fume into the thing based on whatever the stuffing is of those decorative pillows. And then they order some tea.
Yeah, so wait, we get the actual date for this, right? Coming up. Someone was born.
Oh, that's next chapter. That's the wizard they meet.
No, I know, but so we get the actual date for when this is happening. So I'm just wondering if you go to the the White Horse Inn, if this was like the 1050s or something, you know, it would be like, obviously this would be goose down that you're burning and it would be
sure.
Like, that's an unpleasant smell, but this is obviously polyester fabric.
Yeah. It is a material that has been banned in our country for a while, but sure. They're still finding a way to make it. And
there's like a The tags on the side of them that say, please do not burn these, toxic fumes will result, was cut off by the owner of the Airbnb that they...
Yeah, they just sliced it. Do not expose to pregnant... It's like, oh, who knows what that might say? Yes. Or children... That could be any word that starts with children.
So after burning pillows, yeah, as you mentioned, what's the next logical thing? Like
this, well, I just want to. This is an entire exchange I need to read with you because it's insane. Yeah. I think some tea would be nice at this hour, I said, as I began to become thirsty.
One of my dumb sentences of the week, because that's a complete sentence. Question mark ends the sentence, and then the sentence is, I said as I began to become thirsty.
So it's good that that sentence went in that direction, you know, not like, I think we should go play some high lie at this hour as I began to become thirsty, because then he'd be like throwing the ball around being like, why do we do this? I'm so thirsty. So he starts that sentence, begins to become thirsty, probably around the word some. I think some tea would be nice at this hour.
Oh, wow.
And then it is him and Hope in the room together. She says, "Tea, what time is it exactly?" "About 7:30," my mother interrupted. "Oh, hello, Mrs. Romero," Beau greeted, smiling.
Oh, those are all that
those quotes never
were not closed, yes. Yeah, okay.
"Well, nice to see you're still awake. We were just about to send for some tea from the kitchen. Would you or Beau's parents like some?" My mother stepped further into the room out of the doorway. "Well, that would be lovely. And yes, I hear they're avid tea lovers as well." She smiled quickly. She smiled, glaring quickly to Beau and then back to me. I think he means glancing. "Very well. I will have some tea and with all the additions sent to both rooms, Mom." She now walked out of the doorway again and the door swung shut silently behind her as she disappeared. So the mom just walked into their private room, said, "Yeah, I'll have some tea too," walked back out. No word about why she had entered. Maybe she became thirsty during that sentence as well. I don't know.
Also, there's a lot to think about here. The pillows are still...
Yeah.
There's like the dripping plastic. There's a stench of the burning pillows.
They've turned the fire like green probably.
And she walked in and like the... So she ignored... I assume there's like a do not disturb sign on the door for the 13-year-old and the 15-year-old. She just like flew through that, somehow got in. They didn't flip that little thing over that covers
the security lock. The
security lock thing, which are easy to break anyway. Whatever. She just walked right through that and didn't... And
announce herself.
Yeah, and he had just had, you know, like the Larry David thing, like, why are there so many pillows on the bed? Like, what do you care, Larry? What do you care? I'm going to burn one of them. Okay, burn a pillow, Larry. That'll be...
Did that make you feel better? Great, yes.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to burn a pillow. You're going to watch a man burn a pillow? Like, all right, do it, Larry. What am I going to do? I've got my headphones in. I don't care. You do. I'm burning a pillow. Look, pillow number two. I'm burning all the pillows. And she walks in the middle.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Romero.
Oh, hello. We were just about to order some tea. Oh, wow. As you said, about to order, I became thirsty and forgot to... Like, this is madness.
It's truly crazy. I mean, she's still shell-shocked, I presume. I assume the demons tortured them at best, you know, and probably did even worse things to them. So she's just wandering the halls, you know, sleepwalking maybe.
Yeah, like, she's got the ice bucket in her hand, but her face is just coated with blood from the chain she beat the demon with to death.
Oh, yes, tea. That sounds quite good.
Yes. You are burning pillows. Yes.
Everything was good for dinner. Yeah. And then they go out. This is more of the personal argument they've had forever. He's like, she's like, why are you going to the kitchen? We have a bell here to summon the tea. We'll just ring it. I'll be a moment, he said, then was gone. Man, I mumbled to myself when I was sure he couldn't hear. So that's the 13-year-old doing a, you know, Cheryl David.
Am I right?
Yeah, turn to the camera. Man. The demon war, it says, two sentences later, I thought mostly of the war and how it was coming closer with each passing minute, but they still have time to do a little, Kathy cartoon here.
that leads to this exchange. I think this is one of the best exchanges in the book, the 15-year-old and 13-year-old. So, after this war, In way of weddings, I would like, comma, a traditional wedding, comma, well, for mortals. I pointed out. Now, I don't know who's pointing that out.
I think, so if you're listening, if you're only listening, many times I pointed out comes at the end of a paragraph, a carriage return, but it then describes the next sentence of dialogue.
Okay. All right.
That is a little quirk here that you've got to sort of think. So I think she's pointing out traditional by that.
Oh, so she's, but I thought she was narrating. Did it switch narrators again?
It probably could have
switched in the middle. Okay.
Yeah.
So someone pointed out, one of the two pointed out, traditional, comma, by that you mean black tux and white dresses, comma, right? Question mark. Exactly. It would be nice to keep it simple, especially after the war. Which is, it's what you say to your bride who is being tortured by the Nazis or whatever, hey, what kind of wedding do you want? Like, right. Well, they are currently putting bamboo shoots under my fingernails. But, after the war, black tux, white dress, yeah. That kind of.
Yeah, short ribs are very trendy these days. Let's do that for people, and then the vegetarian option will be maybe like a polenta type of thing with morel mushrooms. Yeah, if they're in season.
The chicken that they put on top of the they mash the potatoes down on the plate, and then they put the chicken on top of it, and put the but the chicken's always terrible. But the potatoes are kind of there's a lot of butter in them.
If you pick chicken at a wedding, that's on you. That's rookie move. But then here we have this little detail. This is another thing that two humans would say to each other. What about who was going to be invited? Well, immediate family, of course. And I have also considered cousins and maybe friends. His face became lost in thought.
That is so Tommy Wiseau. Yeah. You invited my cousins. Good thinking.
Good thinking, Lisa. So that's his little glimpse into their wedding planning as the imminent war has been announced, I think.
It is scheduled.
They did get a – they said you've got to ship off to Wario Co. in 48 hours. And so that's – a lot is on their mind.
Then we get the food. Well, it's not really, I guess tea is not food, but let's see. A complete set of tea for two consisting of saucer, teacups, tea kettle. Do you have a drink with you? Maybe you want to get one.
Oh, sure. I've got some.
In case it's ready. Right, okay. Yeah. A little effort, took the table, placed in front of the fire, two chairs, tea set, poured my tea, two sugars, one cream. A letter was with it, folded a letter which had the seal broken. Didn't really read it, only skimmed it and feared what it can. War! I shouted, surly everyone heard.
Oh, man. There's an amazing clip of from like 15 years ago when he was just probably 97. Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia is giving a Senate speech and just says, immediate war was the only recourse. War! And his arm sort of flies up, not controlled by the rest of his body. That is something that we reference almost every week, I think, in this house. So that is hard to imagine any other thing other than that. War! Surly.
It is all uppercase and exclamation point in war, which is another quirk of his. All of a sudden, just like all uppercase.
All uppercase, sometimes parentheticals. I don't, it's
because it could have been camel caps, where just like the A could have been capitalized because he's so.
Oh, man.
So bad.
If they introduced that, that might have been a bridge too far for everybody.
war, the council has declared it. His voice was weak but calm. I was going to give you a sonic challenge on that. If you'd like to, you can, but it's optional. I'm not going to require it. His voice was weak but calm.
Yes, war, the council has declared it. They wish for us to return to Wario Co. within 48 hours.
So sort of like a...
Is this cream? Is this full fat cream? Because you're so weak. I was assuming that the sugar and cream would like revive you a little bit, but you seem... Oh, my God.
I was going for like McConaughey in that movie he won the Oscar for, where I think he had AIDS, and so he like lost a lot of weight. So like calm, McConaughey, sure. But also weak. Because he's sick. don't know.
McConaughey called up.
Where's my Oscar?
Who's the other guy who loses a bunch of weight? Not De Niro.
Jared Leto.
No, the guy who
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale, yeah. Called him up and was like, hey, are you doing, like, no, I'm gaining weight. Oh, shit. All right, I called the wrong person then. Yeah, I'm gaining 60 pounds for this role.
All right, well, crap. God, are we giving offers to fat guys or skinny guys this year? I don't understand. This is, so they drink the tea, they're planning war, and it says, I want to go to sleep. And he says, however, I think just a little play is fine too. He mused, pressing his hands upon my upper ribs and breathing lightly as our lips met. So that's like a, I mean,
I tried that move last night with my wife. It didn't go well.
Okay, are you trying CPR? Like, what is
doing? Stop this.
That's fortunately the only hint of erotica we get in that section.
Ribs.
But, oh, ow! I think you cracked one. That's going to take like 3 weeks to heal. And then he describes going to sleep thusly, as Caleb would say. Soon, we were both slaves to the night and found rest in each other's company. I got to say, to settle the hell down in that description. That is needless attempt at poetry.
I brought up the settle down. I have, like, there's a sentence where I have four of them in one sentence.
Wow, so
that's
nice.
Coming up. Yeah, because we haven't done the settle down in a while.
No.
But there's wedding description. There's tea. There's parents breaking in. There's the white owl, which I think has we call off
white
sale.
Horse.
White horse. Sorry, off sale. Do you have that?
I
where you can go
term.
To a bar and then it's like, hey, take can it. I get. I'm going to go home. I need a 12 pack.
Oh,
like,
nice,
we have off sale. So, yes, we can. So that the White Horse looks like a place that has off sale where they're like, yeah, I'll throw one in the ice for you when you leave, you know, yeah. So then you can drink.
Fill up my drinking horn with grog for the off sale, sir. Whatever.
I guess we do. We have tea? You know, looking around, like, I guess we do.
Oh, yeah. Who the hell is Earl Grey? Whatever.
It's on the top shelf. All right. I mean, I have fire, so I can heat up some water. I guess I can make you some tea. Anyway, then they get the parchment comes. So that's on the tea tray, right? That's where he goes, like, war.
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know how that arrived.
Which is like a Marx Brothers thing. Like, war, to war, to war. We're going off to war. You know, that kind of... Anyway, okay, so here's this is in the war statement, I think. The letter will grant generals the change in orders. This is he's talking, I think, to his wife, right?
Okay.
This 13-year-old wife. Because when you're, you know, like Churchill and stuff probably to his wife was like, the Nazis are attacking, you know, we must... General Rita is to command the Telquin and Mexican legions, and finally General Owl.
End of sentence.
General Owl? And finally General Owl?
And then the next sentence is, will be in command of Lithis. That is a sentence of its all. General Owl, I looked it
General
up.
General Owl was
He was mentioned once earlier. Yes. I shall have Toa paired with General Isoro, Kili with Rita, and Juru with a new general, General Owl.
Which, so, again, this was offline, but of course, General Owls, it's still taught in naval colleges everywhere.
Oh,
his,
yes.
His how many licks maneuver, how many licks to get to the center. Oh, one... Otohu.
he licked the Bosphorus instead of whipping it, I think. That was his prime maneuver.
The other, like, Eisenhower is there. Like, we have to invade the coast of, you know, the Nazi battlements are so... Otohu. God, General Owl. Shit.
Absolutely no idea what he's going for with General Owl, whether that's funny. I mean, it's the only, I think, someone named after it. They can't transform into eagles.
We can't grant this guy funny anymore, can we?
No, I don't think so.
He's lost that privilege to crack a joke.
But and I think he's maybe mentioned one more time also off camera, so we never know if he turns into an owl, if he is an owl, if he you know has big eyes, if he can rotate his head 180 degrees. It's left to speculation.
I'm trying to think. I spent like 3 seconds going, what's that referencing? Is there a in fiction or in actual life? And then I just was like, I don't have the my brain space. I have no time for this.
There was a brief, like, Harry Potter also ran that was like the Owls of Ga'Hoole.
Oh, maybe, okay.
Maybe
yes,
Caleb's a big fan of the Owls of Ga'Hoole.
Oh, that could be. That's what it is.
If this book is just littered with allusions to the lore of the Owls of Ga'Hoole series, that would make me quite happy. Then we also, speaking of off-camera characters, they're preparing for war. We get another mention of Pervo from the beginning. Mm-hmm. He had not been mentioned in a long time. That was delightful. He's then mentioned, I think, one more time. But then he, speaking of birds of prey, I forced myself into the air and flew east toward the island of Rolus Tilium. As I flew, I summoned every available eagle for both Iris and Tetiliqua to my aid, and like a giant fighter squadron, we flew in formation and made our way to battle. So that's like his, here I am, rock you like a hurricane moments as the camera sort of zooms out, and he pretty much summons an entire birdemic to aid him in this journey.
So, again, question.
Okay.
Earlier, when he took a, what was it, 30-mile ox cart tour, and went to someone's Lauren's wedding? Loris?
Yes. It's something with
coronation,
like that.
Wedding, whatever.
His best friend.
His best friend who makes things.
He can duplicate things.
Yes. He took an ox cart. Yeah. What is happening here?
I guess maybe sometimes you want to, like the queen going out and being amongst the common people. You don't want to just be teleporting with your stone warp feather or flying with your eagle posse.
I suppose it is like, yeah, if you're, going to your Nancy Pelosi and you caught getting a haircut with no mask on, like, oh, whoops, I got busted. I shouldn't fly here.
Right. Oh, this is going to reflect poorly on my reign. Yeah. Luckily, there's nothing anyone could do about it because this is not an elected position. I can do whatever I want and do whatever I want. So he meets up with Slayer, the master of all demons, who
meets up with him. Yes.
And they sort of hash out some of the terms here, and the terms are going to be changing as the wind blows. There are stipulations and rules introduced at a whim, so don't get too attached to any of these terms. But Slayer says, in our terms, total surrender of both realms, or else his total defeat. Like, there's not going to be any like compromises or anything like that. It's going to be, this is for all the marbles. And yes. He's like, sounds good, Slayer, shakes hands, and then they return back to their troops. And then he gives his own sort of St. Crispin's Day speech. I don't know if it's worth reading.
it's so bad.
I'll read a little bit of it. He says, now I say to all here before me, take up your swords, bear your shields, and strike, knowing your actions are pure, and justice shall and forever be upheld. And the men go, yay, and then they run into war.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't quite rise to the level of...
No, but he was going for it. I mean, it was a whole paragraph of garbage.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. Doesn't
many
quite
shall fall
there.
This day, and blood shall cover the land, both of human and white blade alike. Who are the white blade? I didn't know
what that
meant.
Is he
a white blade guy?
Yeah. Earlier, didn't Slayer's... he had two assistants. He had a second, and then he had a guy who spoke for the two of them.
Okay.
When they did the paper, like about their battle, they were like, right. Hey, look, this sucks. I hate this. It's a, what is it? The end user license agreement.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yeah.
Like, I know this sucks, but it's like 15 pages. Could you just quickly scan this and read this? Like, we're not going to do this. You're not going to do this. It's all boilerplate stuff. You can just sign it. Like,
fine.
Well,
all right. Sure. I trust you, Slayer.
Could I have a second to read it? Like, I mean, go ahead.
If you want to, but like,
guess.
Yeah. But look, there's like a whole archers... stuff in there that's only for the EU, so you can skip that section. Like...
Right, exactly. We don't even have those things. And like, look, my archers have already pulled their bows back. Look at their arms. They're like shaking. Could you just, right. like, all right. Yeah.
this war has been planned for quite some time. I don't know if so you've been reading a lot in your own book.
But does the sign a thing like in anger and is like happy? Like I'm not happy. It's just like
it's war. I mean, no one's really ever happy about war, even demons. Then they snicker because the part of clause 27-F was Master Whitebow has a tiny wiener and he acknowledged that. I'm like,
you signed it,
Slayer.
You got me. That's why they call you Slayer. You slay me with those jokes. So then they go to war.
Oh my god!
And then his first command. Make ready. Here's how you command archers in case you didn't know. Okay. Make ready. Okay, then the archers know. They took up an arrow each and, loaded it.
Okay.
Pull, I commanded further. Loose. Like, loose?
Does loose mean fire? Like, can you just say ready,
we've agreed
aim,
on
fire?
This. Loose. It's loose. Make ready, pull, loose.
Sorry, is that like a... Is
when
that
I
an
grew
Ohio
up, it
thing?
Was like,
we're from Tequila.
Exactly.
I don't know. Lewis didn't do it like this. He said fire.
I read his entire book. He did nothing about
the one by Stephen.
Pull and loose.
And while they're doing that, Slayer is giving his own orders, which says infantry charge, let their throats cascade blood to their feet. Which got me a lot more fired up than, the whole, paragraph of garbage that Whitebow was saying. That's just, appropriately metal for a demon lord.
Yes.
Pretty
now
sweet.
That you can imagine, Richard Burton saying in Britain, infantry charge, let their throats cascade blood to their feet.
Yeah. That wasn't bad. But, of course... they very quickly, they retreat into the caves, but then his eagles take care of the demons. And as the demons and Yuketz follow him into the cave, we get this scene, which is a hilarious thing because he got it wrong the first time. Can he redeem himself now? Now the ceiling above began to weaken. Then as soon as they began to charge me, the ceiling gave way and almost instantly hundreds died from the impact of the falling stalagmites.
Oh,
falling
right
upwards
at the goal line. Right, yeah. Just you had it, man. All you had to do was two different letters. How many different letters?
Yes, two tactites.
Stalactites. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So the demons very quickly are turned to blood. There's a puddle of demon blood, and those who remain standing under Slayer's command fled like cowards, as did Slayer.
Yeah, so, that was one of my settle downs, is the pools of blood.
Yeah.
Like
not for the last time.
Yeah, you have to stop that. This has been there's three, I think, in this section of pools of blood.
He really goes into the details of it. The floor was a near puddle which trapped the blood in its slightly uneven surface. Maybe it's slightly uneven from all the stalactites on the floor of the cave.
Yes. Here's another, I don't know. At this point, who cares about being petty about this? The high arches, the doors leading into the arena were all perfect for an ambush, so I was weary.
Oh, more ambushes.
Yeah.
Again, the ambushes.
You added a letter where you didn't need one, and you could have used it in stalactites. But I don't want to get into the letter thing.
So that's after they take off to the arena after this ambush in the cave or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't. The battle was like, I can't.
Well, everything we just glossed over was maybe six or seven sentences. All the build-up was nothing.
Yeah. We're not scheduled battle against here. Oh, by the way, I forgot to ask. What again were there? The BSOW? What are there?
The Brotherhood of...
B-O-W-D.
Brotherhood of Winged Demons? I don't remember it.
Okay.
Warring demons. I think that's, but yeah, okay. That was
anyway. This is the battle with the B O WD.
It is a real brotherhood, though. You get a sense of that. They are sort of being like, you know, we are not of the same mother. You are my brother. Yeah, they've got rituals. One of them wears a fancy Grand Poobah helmet type of thing.
Yeah, those who spills his blood today with me shall be my brother. Then shall we strip our sleeves and show our scars. Yes.
They fight in the arena. Blood soon covered the walls and gathered in pools.
Yes.
But it then says, out of all my men that went to battle, only 200 of the 900 survived the day. So he went into battle with only 900 men, which seemed low considering he thought that it was either millions or billions of demons. But there are also other battles happening, like Hope is off fighting in another battle with, you know, Lewis or whatever.
Yeah, he sort of mentions that as they have tea together. He's like, hey, would you take the Mexicans and the English forces.
Undead Egyptians.
Yeah, and could you just...
And General Al.
Some, I don't know, circle back behind him. Like, do you have anything more? Should it be a pincher move? Like, anything? You'll figure it out.
Yeah,
it's all pretty... you get it. You get it. I don't need to tell you what it is. But
yeah, you have a Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper. I think you're well on the know here, 13-year-old girl. They said then that we killed all but Slayer. However, he had plenty more men to replenish his loss of 700. So not really the scale we were promised here. And then it says the first battle went to us. The next battle would, however, come in time. So they're going to take a break. They fought in a cave. They fought in an arena, and then they are the next one will come later. But listen to this. This is an amazing sentence. It's not important, but he keeps surprising us. We've had his comment, thus of which. We've had his comment, that of which. We've had a lot of laughs about those. But now he says, we stayed in the main fort, which of which was of great strong stone.
I missed that one.
I don't know what he means. I don't know why that was necessary. But, you know, I tip my cap again.
Which of which? Wow. Which of which?
Yep. True coherence.
I think I was, I almost sent you the, you know, the buffalo, buffalo, buffalo.
Oh, God. Yeah, you sent me one today. I was just
saying. Oh, yeah, yeah. The had sentence. This is like, which of which is like that? Like, wait a minute.
The which of which yes. was which?
So the war, which was scheduled, but I guess it came a little early because he was surprised because he was sipping tea.
Sure. Yeah, but you so it's like, it was oh, coming. Like
so he's like gets the letter and it's like war.
Sure.
Yeah, yes, but you know, I guess it's like August 1914. Like this is happening. We have to have World War One.
Come on! I thought the Archduke had a few more months left.
I was having tea. So this day is over. Slayer survives. Whatever. 900 of his troops. 900. It seems like a pretty good day, right?
Yeah.
No one wants to mop up those battlefields, you know, like...
the arena staff is pretty pissed off, I'm guessing.
But the day is ours. Go rest and get food and drink. Visit with your families for the next time you fight. You may not come back home, I said. So, wait a minute. The families, like, travel with... They travel with him.
Oh yeah!
Like, hey, you're going to you got to play Green Bay. This can we come with you? Like, I mean, I guess I don't know.
Like, no,
it's
man,
like it's a crappy hotel room I stay at. You won't like it.
Yeah, it's really more of a tent. I don't put us up the white horse. Like, that's only for the white bow.
The fridge is not stocked. What are the kids gonna do? There's no. Yeah. There's not even
always
a gym
want to
in
eat
that
the mini bar, and that's so expensive.
Yeah, but. You can, I guess. So, yeah. Like, go home, man. The battle. Yeah.
Visit with my family. Can I borrow the stone feather? Because, like, they're way back in Warioko. Like, I don't know.
Stone feather, patting his jacket pockets.
Yeah, that's, did not bring that with me.
Don't have it. I don't think. Does anyone see my stone feather?
Must have left it on the Nriffon. That's unfortunate.
Oh, boy. So they go home. So they blow the whistle. It's like the Flintstones, you know, going to work. Like the war is over. Everyone goes like, okay. Yeah, the demons are like, demons check their watch. They go, oh shit! You know what? Yeah. when you love your work, you don't work a single day of your life. So I guess I'll go home.
Zozer's like, barely even needed me today. That's great. Hey, yes. But I'm here when you need me.
Anybody need revival? No? Nobody's raising their hand. All right. See you guys tomorrow.
He goes to a meeting with his generals, I guess. And this is where I got some great laughs out of this. He is informed that they have to go to a place called Low Lick.
Low, comma, lick.
L-I-K.
Yes.
Where there is a small gathering of wraiths there. And they're very worried that they're not going to be able to fight these wraiths. And then he brings out this golden ring. And he's like, well, au contraire. And he has gotten this ring when he went to Lithis and met King Mandaractos, which you'll recall they went there and there was like hostages or something.
I thought this was a new fact.
Well, he did meet that king. I looked at it. He did not get a ring from the king. That happened off camera or something.
Okay.
And so listen, that he's had, they're like, oh, you only have one of those ring. All our men will need it. And he says, oh, well, I had my friend Lornan, my best friend, who had the potluck dinner for his inauguration. He's been reproducing them in mass quantities. He's got like Calvin's duplicator box, and he's just been putting them in and taking them out. And then this is one of my favorite exchanges in the book. One of the guys says, well, he's been making them. That is good, however. Wouldn't such overworking drain the power from the original ring? My hand took hold of the ring. Well, that would seem reasonable to think. However, that isn't the case. It's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, you might think that, but no. good objection raised. However, not the case.
But that follows up with like a total dick move from General Asoro.
Yeah.
So then he's like, hey, you know, let me explain again. Total,
he tosses him the ring.
Yeah. Just burned you so bad, you piece of garbage. But anyway, and then let's let this guy talk. I am General Asoro. I know a lot about this ring. And all the guys like, oh, yeah? How do you know? I know a lot about it since it was created by my hands.
Oh, well, okay. You could have led with that, buddy.
Why didn't you just tell us that? You left us hanging like... You know,
and then he keeps
a missile demonstration or something with a guy like, now this missile can take a torpedo out of the air, meet it at 4,000 feet per second, and explode it before it can. So that's anyway. That's mine.
Well, how do you know that?
I made it, dipshit.
Well, God. Oh.
And then you just go like, you dick.
Yeah,
just
right.
Yeah. Led with that.
Lost faith. But then he also leads with this. He goes, how can that be, you're wondering? Well, my answer is simply this. I, just like my father, King Mandaractos, I am immortal. So it's a literal, a wizard did it to explain why this has happened.
Could you give us a printout and show us everyone who's like, okay, immortal, made the ring.
Yeah,
ring
has died like, and come back to life.
Why are we having this meeting? The war is... scheduled to start in like a couple.
Well, we didn't know there was going to be wraiths in the war, okay, Al? We didn't know there were wraiths, so now we need to explain this wraith thing. And then he says this, the ring has unlimited power, plus Lord Lornan's power is to make whatever he wants out of whatever he is in possession of, so this ring is to be reproduced just as it was to begin with. The men sitting around me now became less tense and were more able now to accept such an event. So all I had to do was say, listen, he can do whatever he wants with whatever he wants. And that made the men more accepting and less tense. So I'm glad that everyone has these powers.
What I focused on was he called it such an event. What was the event?
The event was lecturing them about a ring that you just revealed you had.
Guys, do you feel good about it? You want to accept this event? Like, why are you saying the word event? No, I just mean like accept the fact that he can do anything. He made the ring. The ring can be recreated. All the power of the ring can be. Yeah, but you said event. Look, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Maybe I used the wrong word.
I come into the office and, hey, Mike, I got a new dash cam on my car today. Anyway, off to work. And then at lunch being like, man, you should have seen your face after that event this morning. When I, what event? Well, when I told you I got a new dash cam, that was. and here's one more thing like this, where he just, the hand waving is just coming and going here. Whatever he wants to do, he can do. How, he says, we got to go to the lake around 7. How are we to travel fast enough to be there by this time? It's at least a 4 days ride from here to there. I lowered my eyebrows. Do you think I don't know that? Listen. Your Telequins transform, Telequins with one T, transform into whatever it is you transform into and make your way there. What about those of us who don't transform into something fast or of the air? Then what? I understood his point now. Well, then you will be atop and drift on, and I will fly aside alongside you in the air. Oh, well, that should work fine. I'm glad we've resolved that little issue. So these are his meeting with his generals. I think this is like his inner circle, and that's the that's what they're doing right now.
And then it I think there's a one of the generals, I guess, who mm-hmm. were like who accepted such an event, who are more able to accept such an event, and talking about going to Low Lick. Why?
Oh my God!
Why the low comma Low Lick. Lick? I thought the first one was like okay, he panics and puts commas and things. He was consistent on this. It irritated me. Anyway, at the beginning of, or in the first act of Roadhouse.
Sure.
Which, by the way, is coming out.
All right. A big remake. March 21st,
the remake with Jake Gyllenhaal. I will not be watching. Yeah. Patrick Swayze stands up and gives his rules or his I've got two rules. Be nice. And then he says like six rules and then rolls them into whatever. But there's one unknown dude who we see only twice in the movie. And he like sits back and he kind of puts his hand behind his head or he looked like strokes his chin. He goes, well, that sounds pretty good. But what are we supposed to do if they call your mother a whore or something like that? Yeah. I forget what it is. Anyway, one of the generals in this thing goes, well, that sounds pretty good and much to everyone's liking here, I'm sure. But what if he calls your mama a whore? It so reminded me of that. Like,
wow.
Lecturing the generals, and then one of them goes, yeah, I mean, this all sounds really good. But sometimes.
But some of us can't fly.
Slayer will put a knife on his boot and come in the front door and tell me I'm too dumb to have a good time. I don't know what to do.
Well, then you take the train. Okay. Yes.
Okay. That seems simple enough. Yeah.
Thank you.
Low Lick, comma? Yes, there's a comma after low. Dang. Okay.
Heard you killed a man in Low Lick.
Heard you said it was self-defense.
Oh, I can't turn into a Nerfon. Relax. And... We move on from that into a vision, a dream of Hope giving birth to their daughter who they met from the future. And yes. We get this reaction. He's seen his future wife, also current wife, give birth to their daughter. Mm-hmm. And then we get this sentence, which longtime listeners will recognize as something that happens a lot. I was so vivid. And I could feel the forming of a smile upon my face as I now gazed upon my daughter, who I now held. His reaction to the birth of his child is a Kleinian smile. He feels it forming onto his face, and you just love to see that. I was reading a book by David Foster Wallace, The Broom of the System, last night, and got a long fingers. So it's
ooh, this is a thing.
We haven't had one in a while, but they turn up all sorts of places. More competent authors, less competent. I wish this book had one.
This brings me to I think I said this was coming up. You can issue the settle downs if you want. Ooh, it's sure. Up to you. I now walked around to her side of the bed.
Okay.
15, 13. Settle down is optional here. For the first time since this dream, I looked truly at her face. She looked older, not much, but older than she was. I wanted to ask her age, but involuntarily I took her hand and the dream was over. In the process, I managed to dream jump her to me. I feel like there's six settle downs in that sentence. Like 15-year-old, 13-year-old, looking at her face. You're too old, babe. I'm 13. Yeah, well, now you're like 17.
13 and a half.
You.
Yeah. You're so careworn.
I wanted to ask her age, but involuntarily I took her hand and the dream was over.
Well, there's some little bit of context here. It's very, very poorly doled out. He has just seen her given birth, but then he has had like a sex dream as described only as poorly as this guy can. It said I rolled over, and it says I seen hope only covered by the cover that two lay upon me. Right then I knew the event at which had passed.
Yeah, that's what I did not understand. I was like, so I wanted to ask you about this. What does this have to do?
It's like another dream within the childbirth dream. So he's known what has happened. They've done it. They've gotten.
Well, they have a child. They already saw their child.
But this is a dream within a dream or something. Like there's like a blast of light, and then he's having a dream within a dream, and then he dream jumps her to me within the dream. So he brings her to him, even though she's off, you know, fighting the battle or something.
Then he also says, by the way, I gasped as soon as I seen hope. And hope is not capitalized, only covered. Oh,
nice. Nice, perfect.
Yeah.
But she, like, she questions this, because previously when they dream jumped, he came to her, but he has brought her to him. And he says, what are you doing here? And he says, the answer is simple, dream jumping. Again, but wouldn't you be where I was and not I here? I shrugged. Don't know. That's just how it worked out. So more just, yeah. Won't the ring lose its power? No, it won't. Does a dream jumping work this way? I don't know.
Wait, you remembered that? So the dream jumping only happened one way?
The dream? No, I didn't remember that. Since she called him out on that, I remembered that it happened that way one time. They had just invented it in the last chapter to come to her when she was taking their parents on the tour of the capital.
But since they can teleport with a stone feather, who gives a rat's ass whether there's right. dream jumping? Like, who cares?
Yeah,
you can instantly go to someone in reality. You don't need to dream jump.
It's right. But then he says this. You know that line. Well, it was crossed in the dream I had.
That's when I was like, wait, well, because they had a child, but they already knew that. So that line.
True. Yes. They know it's coming at some point in time.
The line that isn't crossed, drinking real sangria. We'll see that coming.
Yeah. Now that is for adults only.
That is. Your sexy time? That's for anyone, but not sangria. With 12% alcohol.
Well, speak of the devil, you say it's settled, then tomorrow you'll return to the mainland, allow them to and send your parents back home, allow them to use a stone feather, which will teleport them back to their house in Iris.
So the stone feather is
workable. She does have one. She knows how to use it. But dream jumping is still how they're transporting here.
Okay. And then he says something about his book. He says, you know, I am writing a book.
God.
He told me, smiling at my brief stare. A lot of weird staring and glaring and all of that.
Sure.
Oh, and you can add it to your book if you like, she told me, smiling at my brief stare. You know I am writing a book? He's shocked at this. Isn't he constantly summoning his book?
Yeah, he has a quill pen.
When they go, they're like sitting by the lake shore, and she's like 13-year-old sleeping by the lake shore, I assume with a big string of drool, and their stone eagles are flying into the water, and he's like sitting there like a dipshit at a cafe writing a screenway in front of everyone on his Mac.
Oh, this? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just I'm using what's the screenplay software?
Final Draft
6.1.
You don't know the name of the software you're using? That's
it's a pretty complex thing. It's about a guy who kidnaps a girl. It all takes place in Europe. I've been to Europe a lot of times. Anyway,
I'm putting my headphone back in now. Thank you.
You're writing a book, she says. Like,
I will say this.
Oh, yeah, babe. Sorry. Did I forget to mention that I was writing a book? God.
I personally wish he would write a translation of Stephen's biography of Lewis. That would be really put a cap on the whole thing. I just want to say this. My friend came to town the other day, and we went to a hip coffee shop in the neighborhood and sat down. There was very few tables, so we had to take one that was pretty near someone else. And he haven't seen him in a little while, so we were catching up. And he's like, what are you reading? And I, of course, mentioned this book. And we started talking about the podcast. And the guy, I feel like he sort of performatively got up and, he was by himself. He was annoyed that we sat down and were having a probably loud conversation. But I was like, if I was in a coffee shop trying to get work done, two guys sat down, one of them started talking about his, mildly successful podcast, the most insufferable thing you could possibly imagine.
Sure.
But I was sort of delighted about it. I'm like, hey, this is just, it's a natural conversation. I have good stories about this, insane books. And so, you can suck it up, man. I hope I see him there again sometime.
Oh, did he blow any?
He sort of huffed, yeah, he like got up and sort of gathered up his things noisily. And so I could tell that I think he was probably driven away by that. But hey, I didn't want to sit next to him. I would have sat someplace else, but it was the only seat in the house.
So I won't say who this was, but do you know the mayor from Portlandia?
Sure. Oh, Kyle MacLachlan.
Kyle MacLachlan. He is based on an actual person. Uh-huh. And that actual person I met years ago in a coffee shop, exactly like what you described, and he was like writing a screenplay. And I had to meet with him for some other reason. I won't go into this, but he goes like, hey, excuse me, I got to get, I'm really into these, the greens. So he got up and got this blended green drink. And I was just like, I've never met him before in my life. And he started drinking this totally green drink. This is years ago with like a big green mustache. Anyway, I put him in, I wrote a book and I put him as a character in one of my books. But he was the inspiration for.
Wow, perfect. Coffee shop encounters.
Not hard to figure out. He became the mayor of Minneapolis. So, but he was the basis of this Kyle MacLachlan character.
Wow.
Anyway, all right. I guess so I've given the game
They're sending the
away.
Parents home. They also, this is another revelation, alas, to make matters worse, we would be starting school again within the coming week. So we would have to leave the generals in charge while we proceeded with our human lives. So that's sort of a surprise. I thought they were probably just not really needing to get back to like geometry class. They probably have bigger fish to fry, but I guess not. But in school within the coming week, so within 7 days they'll be starting school again. That is forgotten. Many more weeks pass before war is resumed here.
But are they? They're only together right now in the dream jump.
Well, I mean, if she's sending her parents home, they're going to go back. I think the dream jump is reality. Dream jump, you bring people to your reality. It's not, you pull them out of a dream and now they're in your bedroom. So, I mean, but it doesn't matter. They split up pretty quickly and go back to like do some more fighting or something.
Okay. Yeah. Cause they use, I mean, pretty quickly, I think they go to the lake near Low,
where the wraiths are to fight with the rings. Yeah.
To confront the wraiths in battle.
And like, it's like, we can't spend too much time on it because it doesn't take much time in the book, but they have the wraiths, the rings, and they're like, this is working great. And then it turns out that because the wraiths have wooden swords tipped with steel, that metal that you would never expect to find on a battlefield, the rings are rendered useless. But then...
Yes. So
undead pharaohs show up and help them out or something.
There were in their various forms, eagles, these are capitalized, hawks, and other aerial animals. So if you're an other aerial animal, be like, how hard is it to just add a couple more words?
We lost, 500 bats in this thing, and now we're just reduced to end the rest?
Yeah. Eagles get the uppercase, hawks get the uppercase, and then the other raptors are just like, what am I? Okay, chopped liver. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
California condors, we are endangered. It was a real big effort for us to get even a few people out here.
Telling your own damn wraiths, you piece of crap. but so the rings do not work.
Right.
Which they were promised that they do. But then at the end of the battle, General Isoro was most pleased as to how well the rings worked, granted the short time they were of use.
They worked well until they didn't.
They didn't work at all. As all the men were cut down. What does he say? Like stones falling? Men fell like rocks and landed equally hard on the ground below. Equal to what? I don't know.
As like a rock, I guess.
Like I guess.
You fell like a rock equal. And you land like a rock. That's, you know, common
so
sense.
So the rings, an utter failure.
Yeah.
Right? The ones he said were like, they're like, hey, man, if we duplicate a bunch of these rings, doesn't the power go out of them? Like, nah, my buddy.
Yeah, you might think so, but no. Like,
okay. Then they put them on. It's like the when they landed on D-Day and they made them put those the bags on their legs, and all the guys are like, these are going to, as soon as we jump out of the plane, they're going to rip off and it's not going to work. And then there's going to be all these bags that the enemies can take. That happened.
Okay.
Because they're just like, you can't just give us, at the last second, you give us these leg bags. So all of them ripped off, and then just the enemies took the leg bags and were like, great, extra ammo and shit. Great. And all the guys felt like failures.
Ike's like, I'm pretty pleased how those works. Like, yes. Oh, you know, granted the short time that they were of use. I don't know.
Good job on those leg bags. Except they all failed. Every single one of them failed.
And right after that, the next sentence is parenthetical. Those rings will become something more in the upcoming future. And as many listeners pointed out, the last mention of the rings. So,
that is it.
Maybe in part two. I don't know.
That made me laugh, too. I was like, oh, please don't mention the rings.
Blurry on it, baby.
All right. Well, there's no escaping it. We got to get to it. Nilrem.
Oh my God!
What do you make of Nilrem?
I keep looking at the like word count remaining, and it's like, well, the war technically started, but we've also, you know, the book is wrapping up soon. We know that, and to have new characters thrown at us and to become major parts of the story at this point in time, it's like, you know, it's like Lost or something, or the Dark Tower. You just you got to dance with who you came to the dance with at this point in time. We don't need Nilrem or Theodore or any of these people that are being major characters at this late moment.
And also, this comes up, Nilrem comes up. Is this also a dream? I don't remember how it comes up, but at this point, honestly, I was kind of, I can't read fast, but I was kind of skimming. because, well, you know, once the, you know, pools of blood in the caves and stuff like that, and then all the raptors get just take away everyone, and he's like, all right, let's take a break, and then he's like, I'm gonna go see Nilrem because I have a whispering earth I gotta go read. What is that? I was just kind of like, I don't, what is happening? Do you know what Whispering Earth is and Nilrem?
Whispering Earth is a book written by a relative of the elderly couple that came and stayed with them, and he played the flute with.
By Sarah, Somm.
Sarah Somm, relative of so Isis, not, and Iris Somm.
So what is Sarah? Is it written by two people, Sarah and Somm?
Somm is her last name because she's a relative to Isis and Iris Somm.
I know, but I'm not letting him get away with that comma there. I think he should suffer.
Somm. Maybe it's an Oxford comma written by Sarah Somm.
Somm. That's
a distant relative to Isis
and
Iris Somm.
Relative. So three people wrote the book.
And he is, I don't know what that has to do with anything, and it doesn't matter, but he is, he goes to meet this guy because he's been told about him, and he's described thusly. He was tall and in his early 20s. He has long, flowing white hair due to a gene defect at birth. Which, like, if you see a wizard in a fantasy novel with long, flowing white hair, you only just to sort of accept that. You don't need to throw gene defects at him. You know? Even if they're younger, like, I feel like you're on board with that. Just, it sort of comes with the job description. Like,
yeah. Well, one time I went on a comedy tour with this guy who was like maybe a little younger than me. This is when I was in my 20s. So he's in his 20s. And he had, what do you call it when you're, it's an autoimmune thing where all your hair falls out, right?
Alopecia?
Alopecia. So all of it. So his eyebrows, everything. So he was just this bald guy, but he was obviously younger than me. Uh-huh. You know, so we went on tour and then what he brought it. I don't care. He nice guy. He's like, yeah, I have this. It just came out of nowhere. But I didn't bring up. I was in like, how old are you? Because you're bald. You have no hair anywhere. What's going on? Is how that a gene be? Defect? Hey, man, I'm in my 20s. Obviously, there's something going on. Right. Like, what the hell do you care?
I'm a
That's
wizard.
What I thought of with this guy. Like, I'm a wizard. You know, I have the book. What's the book called? The Whispering...
Whispering Earth?
Yeah. So what do you... defect? What do you know about genes?
You're staring at his pointy cap with stars and moons on it, being like, why does he wear that? Just, is there some sort of like... Is he fashion blind? I don't understand.
Oh, the hair. How long do you have to grow that hair? Were you in the band Nelson? What is happening with your hair? Like, leave it alone, man. I'm going to give you the book.
And he goes to find this wizard. And I will note that school was starting within the week. Weeks have passed since I began my journey to this village. So that's just important.
So he's having those nightmares where, like, he can't get to class. Yeah. Do you still have those? I talked to someone who's my age recently. She's like, yeah, I still have those dreams.
I had one last night.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yep. I was trying to remember my combination. There was like a... Yeah.
I can't get back. Why am I still in school?
I was going to be late for a class and get in trouble. It was insane.
Wow. Yeah. So anyway, he's having those nightmares while he's running the war, telling his generals to use the rings that don't work, which is like, you know... What's the two letters that Eisenhower wrote on D-Day, right? Like,
oh, right. Yeah, if it fails.
Like,
I bear full responsibility.
Gentlemen, the rings that I gave you made you fall like stones from the heavens.
Lauren must share in some of the blame as he was the duplicator.
Yes. Anyway, okay, so.
So he meets this wizard with the gene defect. And he invites them in. They sort of are sitting down for their like a Lair of the White Worm sitting room meal of, you know, tea and sugar and cream.
Tea again. What is with him and tea?
And he introduces himself. His name is Nilrem, which, I mean, you immediately, anyone reading this, realize was Merlin spelled backwards. He was born 23 years ago. The exact date is March 21st, 1982. I stopped him. For I needed no further introduction than what was given.
What is that?
Family member's birthday, and that's an inside joke left to our investigators to figure out. But it's just oddly weird and specific. But to your point, it does pinpoint when this is happening. It's not an old timey at all.
So yes, like what's Troll 2? What is it? Nilbog? Yes, This guy's name is, what is it? Nirmlin or
Nilrem.
Nilrem.
Not Nirmal. That's the cutest guy.
Yeah, Nirmal. Yes. Okay. So he goes to visit him and he's 23 and he has the deficiencies, the obvious gene deficiencies. What is the exact date? Why is that? Why does he give that? And I thought this was happening like in an unknown, I thought this was like Middle Earth, but it's just like, this is just now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's real world. You could probably look and see what was happening in the world that day. Maybe that's when, you know, Michael Jackson released Thriller or something. but you know, I assume it's just a nod to a wife's birthday or his best friend Steven's birthday or something like that. Anything that's so needlessly specific in this book, like Steven, the names of like the bridesmaids that come up, have to just be sort of like inside jokes. To people that are never going to read this book, and if they do, will be more disturbed than honored by these inside jokes.
So this will be like the, again, so he goes to like the wedding and, hey, did you guys read my book? And then all of his friends are like, yeah, we did. Did you caught that, right?
What'd you think about that Nerlens birthday?
I don't remember. Was that and it's your birthday, man? That was you. Like,
right. That was hilarious.
You know what? I that was great. And then the high five and I'm gonna go get some more.
Yeah, I think
it's open bars for half an hour.
Yeah, so. Better hurry up. It's closing down in an hour and a half. So.
Did he write something about what? I missed. Yeah. I didn't read it, dude. What, I didn't.
You told me that, that you're new.
You said you read it.
Years. No, I said I would never read it. I read like a page of it, and I was like, this is one of the worst things I've ever written. I feel
Look at him over there. He's like a little kid. Look at him.
I almost didn't come because of the book.
There are tears in his eyes.
We got to kill him. That's the only way.
Okay. All right. I'm in for that.
I got a bone saw in my trunk.
All right.
Yeah. I liked that as he's sort of discussing with Nerlem, what's going on. He says, how many of you are fighting? He says, a lot. And that's mostly in part due to the efforts of our young friend from Lutilla. Ah, our young friend, Lewis. He has come through yet again. So it's their young friend. Nerlem knows it too. Lewis is a man of the people.
But at least Nerlem knows that, traditionally war is put on hold at the dawn of winter and resumes, the first week of spring.
God.
So the wars are tightly regulated and scheduled.
Yep.
Which I don't guys, I know that you're currently stabbing me in the heart with your bayonet, and I know that you yourself have had your collarbone broken, and you were shot 3 times in the chest, and you're barely breathing, but it is quitting time, so...
Yeah. Equinox is sort of kicked on.
I think I know it's still guys,
unseasonally warm,
the
but...
Same clock as us, so this is the dawn of winter... So I am going to thank you for your time, but I am going to stride off of the muddy battlefield, and I shall see you later. And I can't wait. This is going to be fun. And
keep in touch, you son of a bitch. Seriously.
You call me anytime. You call me, and I will stab you.
And are you doing any skiing this winter? Your icon pass? No, epic pass. All right, so we won't be at the same mountain. But, have a good time.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'll see you, let me look at the schedule, first week of spring.
Spring, yes. I will cleave your head from your body then.
Yes.
If all goes well.
Yeah.
Have fun.
You son of a... I'm dead.
Yeah. But it is. It's Calvin Ball. It's just the rules come and go as we go. And there will be many more of them to come, especially as the battle approaches its climax.
Oh, God.
He asks Nerlem if he's heard of Merlin.
This cameo is very irritating to me. Where Merlin, comes into the picture, or he's in the background, remember me, Merlin?
I think he's just pointing out his own joke,
He is. He's putting a hat on a hat. Let's just be honest about that, right? Queen Mab. He was created by a mistress called Queen Mab.
I don't know that. Is that
digging into his... It's the
Arthurian.
Arthurian. So, digging into Nerlem's ribs and dude, we're all... Stop it. Yes.
Stop. One chapter to go. One, please.
Just get through this.
But then he also brings up that he wants to give Merlin, or Nerlem, a promotion. He says, I've seen the past, live in the present, and prepared for the coming future. Hey, and one more thing. You're now the Archmagus of Tetelaqua. And Merlin's response is, what about Revan Thillis? So his response is to ask about a character we've never heard of before. And White Bow is like, screw Revan Thillis. You're his boss now. I guess he was the former Archmagus of Tetelaqua. And then Hope shows up.
Yes. Is it dream jumping or actually shows up?
She appears in the doorway. And I think she's there for real. She's taking a break from the war.
Did you, by the way, with Revan Thillis? I didn't look it up because I was at this point, I'm like, look, man. Just bring me to the end of this thing. Is that backwards something?
I thought about it, but then I just
I don't think so. Okay.
But then she comes in the door and she's like, "What's going on there? Who's gonna handle this part of the war?" And White Bow goes, "Oh, Archmage Nilrum, of course. Did you make him the new Archmage?" She looked angry. "I did. He will lead those of the arcane arts. What about Revanthilis? Does he know he's out of a job?" She's very concerned about Revanthilis's employment. "He isn't out of a job, and I will tell him when the time is right. I lead the people. I can change things to benefit all." "Hmm. Fine. Well, he will have a job with the same pay as he always has. I will see to that if you don't." So she's just extremely concerned that this guy's being looked after. He's never mentioned again.
It just cracked me up, the fact that she comes in as like, you know, like, payroll, like, you know, 401k, SARSAP, all of these things have to be, when we go to battle, did you even pay the Eagles? And the, like, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Are they freelance? Like, where are they from? Like, where, what is their home? You know, she's like going through all the books like, "Ah, shit, this is going to be a long night. Get some tea."
Yeah, some all master right. You are.
All right, the mages. Mages, I don't know. I hired them. Well, hired them from where? Where did they? Are they in California? That's a right-to-work state. God. Damn.
If I could just throw some pillows on the fire in peace.
So just she's concerned about, have you told him that he might be out of a job?
And Nilrum's like, "Look, if this is a thing between you two, like, I haven't signed anything. I can go right back to not being the Archmage. I didn't ask for it. I don't want it."
He just backs slow. He does the Homer back into the bush. Like, I don't want it.
And they say that, when do we prepare for battle? He says, "Not a while, for a few weeks. Nilrum is going to be teaching me the Tetilquin language. I'm sure he wouldn't mind also teaching you as well if you're interested." And she's more concerned about the sleeping arrangements. She's like, "This isn't exactly an estate here with straw roofs." And more concerned about that than the fact that they're technically at war. And it gives us this sentence, which you mentioned, Buffalo.
Oh, this is why I brought it up. Sorry.
Good. Yes, well, please read it.
"The night came quick and we were alone, the floor, warm under the covers, Buffalo capitalized was always warm. The fire was keeping the small room, well in the 70s, I'd guess." So I have no idea if that means, are they in Buffalo in life? Are they in the place Buffalo?
No.
Buffalo fur?
A buffalo hide has been provided for them as a cover, which is the first and only time that's mentioned, of course, or even hinted that those animals exist here.
Buffalo was always warm, but it's right. Capitalized.
The one fact that everyone knows about Buffalo is that the weather is not pleasant, so...
I don't understand what that... I was so baffled by that. Do you... by the way, I sent that... My son was enraged by the buffalo thing. I was like, it takes like 2 minutes to understand what they mean by that phrase. And he's like, I ain't got time for that.
Yeah. No.
I don't have time for...
Yeah,
you there's eight of them. And I understand it, but it does make your brain where you go like, I don't care.
It's like if you're not an old-timey guy from the 1900s, you don't know like three of the definitions of buffalo that they're talking about.
Well, yes.
So it's like, so that's a verb? Okay, that's not been used by anyone outside of this context in 100 years. So like,
no, like if you went to a train station in the 30s and got some soup from a guy with a bindle, he might say like, "Yeah, they were buffaloing me." And you'd be like, "What does that mean, sir? That is not a common phrase." So then to turn it into and then he would stroke his beard and, you know, the bed bugs would come out of it like, "Well, buffalo, you ain't never heard that term? Oh, whoa. I'm going to say it 8 times in a row and it's going to make grammatical sense to you."
I buffaloed old Peg Leg Schmidt out of his mulligan stew last week on the 310 to Chillicothe.
Who's Muller? I mulliganed that buffalo. Like, damn it, now you're just, come on.
Yeah, so if your grammar nerd little stunt depends on hobo slang from the 30s, I'm going to call bullshit on it.
Yes. All right. So anyway, that was the buffalo that I did not understand. And does that bring us to, well, that's
it
my
does. It's, there's one more thing that's yeah. I think they're talking to each other. And I think she says, I heard about your battle at the arena. General Asura was very happy as to how that turned out. And air attack. Nice.
There's a lot of weird, his punctuation, like, I'm not going to go on, but the humans fight superbly. You mean our parents? He said that already, right? The parents.
I think it's the last time. I think they refer to anyone from, you know, the Earth realm as humans, because these other Tetelicans are, you know, a different race, I guess, even though they're by all
but
means.
He went to he like jawboned the English, right? He went to the king.
Oh, right. Yep. Canadians and the undead Egyptians.
Were they?
I guess he lumps them all in. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, the Battle of Meota and Magistra. Oh, boy. That was something. Anyway.
All right. The final chapter of the book, Two Armies, is approaching. There is two armies. This is a final confrontation. Well, it has several parts, but it is a final confrontation.
Yes.
Very quickly gets off to a clumsy start because a messenger comes up to him with a bow in his hand and quickly bows to him.
I wrote that down and I was like, stop.
Very frustrating.
I use a bow quite well. And he bowed. And a bow and bow and bow, like
from the front of his boat, which is the bow.
Buffalo.
He bowed from the bow with his bow.
Yes.
Master White Bow bowed from the bow with his bow.
When I read it, I didn't immediately, when he says I stood, you have to like shuffle through the whole, like, okay, let's see, Lewis. him being, you know, Master Wipo, her
Nilrealm. Pavzi River, so that's the context.
But anyway, you read like a couple paragraphs and you're like, okay, I think he means actual Master Wipo, I think. But
it does resolve itself because he will introduce himself. However, some stuff has to happen first. The guy, he has the bow. Transforms into a jaguar. He goes, he kills a wolf, brings it back to him. The wolf is dead, shows it to him, turns back into a man and says, you're welcome to join me and my family for breakfast. They go back to his house. They eat the wolf for breakfast. So we've saved, in a stunning, you know, defying all experts and odds makers, the most insane breakfast, wolf, has been saved for the final chapter of the book.
Which was the meat of the wolf was tender. His wife was a well-seasoned cook.
Oh, it could be so many things, none of which are what he's trying to convey.
Could you do worse at describing a cook than to call...
So she's like wife. A cast iron pan that you're really proud of? You bring it out and you're like... You know, you oil it every month and stuff? Or does he mean she knows how to use seasons well? It means that she's a good cook, right? However.
But then the name of the family, I don't know if this reminded you of the...
Oh, it certainly did.
Okay, good.
It says, I give you compliments on your wife's fine cooking. She looked at me as she filled her daughter's bowl. Thank you, sire, she replied. So they have just... He's brought a stranger to the house. They've eaten... She's cooked... prepared, and they've eaten a wolf together.
For breakfast.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, sire. Yes, thank you. I am Theodore Baines. Time for introductions. I am Theodore Baines. This is my wife, Jennifer, and my daughter, Jasmine Baines. My sister, Tina, is with us, too. I'm Jim Dalen. And then he says, the eye is finally revealed. It's a pleasure to meet you all. I am Master Whitebow and recent king of this fine land. So they have sat there, butchered, eaten an entire wolf, and then introduced themselves to each other after that is done in one of the most strangest settings that has ever happened in recorded literature. Like, if that was a David Lynch scene, you would be like, all right, like, let's normal it up a bit, man. That's
so
too weird.
So Ted Baines is like, he like goes this across his face to get all the wolf's blood off it, and is like, well, shit, I mean, I suppose now's the time, like, puts his hand out and, like, grabs it, like, I'm Theodore Baines.
I like the way you eat wolf.
You tore into that wolf like it was, son, you are hungry, and I love it because my wife is well-seasoned.
Maybe it was like the sort of thing, like, I'm sure you've been in, like, in a social situation where you realize you don't know someone's name. You blow it. You don't ask for their name. Hours pass, and you realize you're going to be like seeing them, and it's too late to do it. So maybe he's just doing that. Like, hey, this is weird, but we never introduced each other.
That's true.
You know,
but you know, Jennifer, his daughter, is like eating the wolf's testicle. There's blood all over her face, and is like, this is my daughter, Jennifer, or this is my wife, Jennifer. My daughter, Jasmine. Jasmine's like, just does the little wave. Like,
oh, give me a second here.
And his wife, Jennifer, like, goes to stand up, like, no, 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 we don't stand on ceremony here. We ate a wolf together for breakfast.
So hey, honey, you fed Master Whitebow. You even realized that? Man, we should have put out the fine china for this wolf.
Oh my God! What a weird. Why does he put that at the end?
Incredible.
That could be the book.
Like, right? Yeah, a one act play.
A wolf with a string for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. So that is that scene. He then gives them a gold coin, saying like, "Hey, yes. Like, you know, you want to join me?" And they look at him disgusted. Like, that's our payment. It's a single piece of gold. And he's like, look closer. It's that's worth, you know, it's worth
he's
enough
a crypto
to buy an estate.
Bro.
Yeah, it is. It's his own White Blades coin.
He throws it down and they're like, one gold piece. And then he says, worth enough to buy an estate, 300 acres, and will supply food for 6 months, all from that one coin. That's nearly 60,000 gold pieces, says, you know, Jasmine.
I assume that was Jennifer. Yeah, Jasmine
drops the wolf hank that she was currently sucking on.
Yeah, so he goes around. He prints, you know, the trillion-dollar coin, you know, that that old chestnut where they try to get people to do that. He's just walking around with a few of those to give to people. Well, you know, he has unlimited funds, even though he's always very concerned about picking up the tab at Mexican places. But that's just how good the wolf was, I guess.
I have my first Sonic challenge. I don't want
to
get ahead of it. Do you have the book in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, can you find the paragraph that starts with, oh, look, Theo, we are here?
Sure.
Okay, read that paragraph without stumbling.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm trying to...
Yeah, get yourself ready.
I'm just trying... Yeah, I think this is Whitebow talking. He's bringing Theo back to Nilrim's house.
Okay,
a short walk.
Gotcha, yes.
Okay, look, Theo, we are here, and the front consists of South of Tahlequah, all of Warrioco, Magistra, Carpal-Laval, Usoji, Vilium, and the island of Rolus Tilium. According to the current standings of the battles of this war, we hold Rolus Tilium, have kept Archer with the battle at Low, Lick, and White Eagle has won Vilium. The Blood Order is in possession of the provinces of Carpal-Laval and Magistra, as well as Warrioco and Usoji. The only unclaimed land is in the province of Tahlequah, spelled, I believe those are both spelled wrong or inconsistently.
They're spelled inconsistently.
Tahlequah,
well,
now it's Tahlequah. Good Lord. Just battle planning jargon here. So I imagine Theodore was like, going back to the front of South to Tahlequah before you said all of that.
I have a bit of wolf in my front teeth right here.
You're an omnipresent wolf guy? I'm an omnipresent port guy. Yes. And I said, like, to you, like, obviously there's no way to keep track of any of this. It's all garbage he's making garbage, up as he goes.
Garbage.
But he seems to have some sort of weird internal, like he makes these places up. He mentions them once and then he keeps calling them back. You know, it's like I think he has his own.
Do you think he has a map in his mind?
I don't know.
He can't.
I mean, it's not consistent, but the same places have come up all over and over again as if he expects you to know what they are.
Ross Tilly. Rollis Tilly. I'm sorry.
Oh. And then he asks Theodore, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, Theodore.
Theo.
Hey, do you people have any type of naval force? which is a good thing to be asking, you know, at this stage of the war, like the final stage is imminent, but tracking down a navy is something he's got on his mind.
You guys got a navy going there? Like, I just served you wolf for breakfast. Do you think I have?
Yeah, I'll call up the admiral right now. Yeah, we bowl together.
Jasmine laughing hysterically. Why is she laughing? I don't have a navy.
And then he says, like, hey, all right, like, I got to send a message to the White Horse Tavern. That should only take 3 or 4 days' time, even though I can warp or fly. And then he says he's going to send a message to the tavern. But before he does that, he flies to a capital city of Telmar, which is 50 miles away.
50
so I don't
miles.
Know why he couldn't just fly to the White Horse Tavern.
That's where I put down, like, okay, I mean, the earlier thing was hilarious, the battles of whatever, but this is where I said, can I just get a map? I flew quickly to the capital city of Telmar, 50 miles from the village. We know he can fly at 6,000 miles an hour. What is it?
Yeah.
That's where he took
30 seconds
hope to the hospital. Yeah. I realized that a sort of festival was underway. But being still mostly new to this land, I had no prior knowledge of this festival or even its name. So the festival, they're like, look, the war has really drained a lot of our resources. We have no men. All of them have died. They've been thrown like stones. We got tricked into this ring thing where we thought the rings would save us, but the wraiths turned us into stones. So we have no men. However, the festival will keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we already rented the bouncy house, so can't get that money back. So might as well have the festival. I don't know.
We're going to do it. As I came into view of the people in the street, they all cheered and bowed or bowed. Maybe drew their bows. All while the band began a new song, comma, one they played at the ceremony, comma, some months before. So, have we been to Telmar before?
I don't think so.
They played him a song?
Yeah, it's the same band. Oh, you know?
The Telmar song. I love this. Yeah. Okay. Telmar.
Not familiar with this festival. Where I hope it's nothing weird.
It's a festival.
It's the festival of...
Yay, great. Oh, I'm going to have one of these onion rings you're famous for. Oh, my God, that's hot and awful. Oh, hey.
What is that guy doing to that sheep? Oh, my God, it's that kind of festival.
Oh, Telmar.
Oh, dear. But then someone gives them, like, a Wikipedia rundown of the festival. They just, like, they're like, we celebrate it every... It's the Festival of Lords. We celebrate it every year on the 12th of August, but it's a bit late because of the war. Like, there's an annual vote to select which province. It's like, I didn't care, didn't want to know that bad.
Why did I fly here 50 miles? Oh my God, what a mistake.
But then he's talking to, I think he goes back. He sends a boy to send a message to the White Horse area, but then he goes back and he's like planning a guy's night out. He says, like, each province has one small local arena, and there's also one large arena where all the national games are held. I'm hoping that me and the other two guys, I think he means Theodore and Limrel, can go and see some of the games this weekend. Maybe we'll go and see some gladiators fight. Oh. So he's just, like, being like, we'll bro down. You know, we'll go out. Like, I don't know. Maybe, you know, every time we get drunk, Nilrem starts talking about trying to go to the strip club. So hopefully he keeps that quiet this time. But, yeah, they're just going to, like, go and watch a gladiator, like a WWE event or something.
Are you guys fighting those wraiths or whatever? Like, yeah.
Use the ring!
It was a whole big deal, but it's on hold. Till when? Like, I don't know. Like, don't make me get my phone out. I don't know. It's like sometime in the spring or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just the Festival of Lords, so like it probably can't be that soon. Like, and then while they're doing this guy's night out, Jennifer and Hope start picking some vegetables to make a stew.
Question.
Yeah.
I do not know who Jennifer is.
That's Theodore's wife. Jennifer and Jasmine.
Oh, that he just met. Okay, yes. So he brought
They live a short way from Neil Realm. They're like neighbors. They live down the road from each
other. So he's 23. She's Neil Realm. 13. Yeah, Neil Realm is 23. She's 13. How old is Jennifer?
Unspecified, but they have a daughter who is also unspecified.
Okay, so I approach Neil Rem's house, I could see Hope. Oh, so Hope is staying with the Neil Rem family.
Yes. She showed up. She's either dream jumped there or warp feathered there.
Hope and Jennifer in the garden working with the plants, trimming them, and pouring fresh water over their delicate surface. No indication of where Jasmine is and whether or not she's washed the wolf blood breakfast from her face.
Well, if school starts on the same timeline as it did back in Ohio, she's probably back in school as a child. So they make stew out of cucumbers and some other vegetables. Oh, and beef, of course, because Theo just butchered a cow about 2 weeks ago. So I don't know, why they probably could have just used that as opposed to like skinning the wolf and cutting out the entrails when they had it for breakfast.
Here you go. You're right. It's a short walk to Jennifer's house. There it is. Let's go to my house. I have some fresh herbs. So is this Hope saying this to Jennifer? Before we made the short walk to Jennifer's house, I thought
were... Yeah, so Hope becomes narrating. They're at Neil Realm's.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. They pretty much just like make a stew.
A stew.
They covered, toss ingredients in the pot. Stew? They covered it with a lid that's unspecified. I don't know what cucumbers go into in a stew. That seems untraditional. And then
cucumber stew is not something I've ever heard of. But hey, people out there, if you can give us a recipe.
And then it says there, that should do nicely. Now we wait. And then it skips ahead. The weeks passed quickly. We do not get to see the guys' night out at the Gladiator Arena.
Right.
We'll forever be haunted by what we missed there.
They stopped the war. Because they said winter had come and went all too quick for all of us. Now the time for planning was over, and soon we would once more enter combat against the Blood Order. That's it. So I guess the Blood Order of wild
blood
demons?
Order of winged demons.
Winged demons. Okay.
But so I guess that's consistent. They said it's a Christmas break, even though it was just made up on the spot once he met Nilrum, but that they're consistent there.
Yeah, it was, World War I. They get out of their trenches and play soccer with the Germans.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
But then they receive orders from Star, who hasn't been mentioned in a couple chapters, to come back to Katozia. I don't know, a messenger told them that or something. And then that pretty much the war is going to pick right back up. I don't know why it had to be separated.
Tradition. They said traditionally we just stopped the war. Yeah.
Sure. But for the point of the narrative, I don't understand why it had to if we started this war, you could have just wrapped it up. But, he gave another speech, another St. Crispin's Day speech.
Men, heed my words. This will not be an easy fight, and I am sure many of you will not be returning. These are the deciding battles. As such, we shall not waver. Stand strong for this day. The fate of not one but two worlds are at stake. I am pleased with the sacrifice of both my peoples.
Ohio and Tahlequah.
Yes. Okay. So again... Very, very much not a St. Crispin's Day speech.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
They did this happen the last time? From the look on his face, Slayer's face, I could see he was prepared but was weary of my intentions.
Yeah, I think again he doesn't know what the word weary means.
We're all weary at this point, man.
Yeah, we're very weary. Like...
And then they're getting ready to fight, and he makes his army vanish.
Which pisses off Slayer's not happy with that.
But Slayer's like, fine, you know, I'm not happy about this, but Monchi is going to find you. so we got Monchi back, which is good. He was last seen being killed by their 10-year-old, you know, daughter from the future, but obviously dying does not matter in this book.
The physicality of this, can you, I'm sure you have this written down as well. Can you follow this? Because I cannot.
Sure.
All right, this is the battle, I think. We raised our weapons and then attacked. So I assume they both armies, whatever.
Yeah.
I shot two spikes from my hands, followed by a fireball, while he launched a spike barrage. Likely to kill my men, comma, rather than pinpoint me, period. Momentarily, the two spikes killed one of his generals and fatally wounded a nearby foot soldier, comma, while the fire set the land ablaze just as I had hoped. I, on the other hand, took to the offensive by jumping into the spike barrage before it could separate, killing many of my men. Pain halted my advance for some time.
I cannot. However, yeah, because he says he did things, and then he says he went on the offensive, which is he was already on the offensive. He was shooting fireballs and spikes. But it says it sounds like he killed a bunch of his men. I jumped into the spike barrage before it could separate, killing many of my men. But he means he jumped into it and sort of absorbed it before it could separate, thereby killing many of his men.
What is a spike barrage? I think
you imagine Neo in the Matrix stopping the bullets. You know what I mean? Like he goes
okay,
the
but bullets. That's
but
not
I think
a barrage.
It, I think it's that spikes coming at you like that.
Oh,
like
in a straight line?
No, in like a cloud, you know, like a...
So like arrows, like we shall dark and, you know, then we shall fight in that. The shade kind of a
but
thing?
But spikes, you know.
Okay.
like
all right. You know,
the golden spike that they drove into the railroad, that sort of spike.
Okay. So the sentence starts with likely to kill my men, comma, rather than pinpoint me. Any thoughts? We don't have to. Momentarily, the two spikes killed one of his generals. Oh, he shot two spikes from his hands. Why didn't he just shoot a spike barrage?
Maybe spikes are spike harder for him to.
Like they killed a lot of men.
Yeah, really. You have selected two spikes at a time. Why not barrage?
Oh, I can do that? You have barrage power.
how about this one? I flew directly in the line of fire of the ambush and signaled for them to attack. I suddenly vanished out of sight. Once all of his men were in position, the land was levitated into the air by 30 of the most powerful mages. Once in place, spikes and fire bombarded the helpless army from above and below. So those spikes might have been either stalactites or stalagmites, depending on which way they were coming from.
Yeah.
Some of the demons ran unaware off the edge, while some were impaled by the massive spikes. So they're massive spikes. They now poured off the edges as the fire charred them relentlessly. Like flaming boulders, they fell. The ambush was very effective, killing half the total numbers. So he's killed half the demons right there.
That was one that I also asked. I'm at a loss as to the physicality. What is happening? Some of the demons ran unaware off the edge.
He's levitated. 30 of the archmages have levitated the ground into a little sky island. There's like and so they're just like running off the edge like they're the coyote. And then, you know, waving at the camera and dropping like a massive flaming.
All right. Two other questions about this section. This is a sentence on its own. So if anyone can, that is, comma, if you can catch me, period. I said, then quickly turned, leaving only the sound of a sonic boom in my stead. If anyone has any idea, please help me. And then this one. Halfway, he began to get crafty, forcing spikes up from underneath of me. In doing so, nearly halted my advance. Do you have any idea what that means?
I mean, the sonic boom, I'm guessing, is just, you know, superhero thing, like crouching and then upward, you know, boom type, like the visual ripple.
I'll accept it. I don't like it, but I'll accept it.
spikes up from underneath me. I don't know. You like halfway, a trap door in a video game?
Halfway, he began to get crafty, forcing spikes up from underneath of me. In doing so, nearly halting
his advance. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to point those out. We're almost done, folks.
We are.
Hang with us.
He's by himself. He's split up from Hope again. They're off fighting in war. She's fighting Monchi, actually, and the other half of Slayer's army.
Monchi. And it says,
I hadn't the slightest as to how they were doing, whether they were near defeat or victory. Although, judging from the lack of reporting, I would comfortably say they're doing just fine. And I was just frustrated because he has changed perspective so many times without telling us that he's doing that, to then say, and who knew how the hell she was doing? If only there was some way to tell. That was very, very annoying.
And in the middle of it, so I've honestly lost track. He took to putting his sword away and his claws fell from his knuckles, as did mine.
Toe knuckles, or
it doesn't say.
Okay.
So is that her? I pushed my head under his chest, flipping him over me.
No. So this is his. I think he's killed everyone else in Slayer's army, but Slayer. So this is their Clash of the Titans right now.
Oh. So he took to putting him. Okay. So that's he is referring to Slayer.
Yeah. They both turned into
claws
Panthers.
Fell from. Oh, Slayer can turn into a panther? Slayer's sure a demon, right?
Yeah.
Does he have the knuckle swords as well? Toe knuckle
swords? Well, that's where we were introduced into the concept of toe knuckles was a demon. So maybe they're the only ones who
Okay.
But they turn into panthers, and they both lunge into midair. So it's like the final Lion King battle at the in the storm at Pride Rock. And then we get this moment. So they're slashing each other and, growling. The third time he flicked his tail near me, I clamped down on it with my powerful jaws. So then it turns into, Tom and Jerry, just biting the cat's tail. I think that then they turn back into people again. Because he throws a sword at him and it misses his skull narrowly, but it shaves an inch or so of my blonde hair.
Yeah, that was the one I was like, is that her? Who's got blonde hair?
It's him, but I thought he slicked his hair back, so maybe he's just stopped doing that.
This is the first time I ever heard of
him. Exactly.
So he's like a metal band dude,
Yeah, maybe.
Cut my hair, man.
It's blonde, but not white. No genetic defects here.
No.
And then this is how he again, there's a little bit more. There's a more action here, but it's all incomprehensible. But then he summons two Nryphons. They grab Slayer. They pick him up in the air like they're, holding him up. He turns into an eagle. I ejected my steel talons and plunged them effortlessly into his shoulders. Momentarily, I released my steel claws and separated his head from his body, watching intently as the blood fell unopposed to the ground below.
So he went from a panther.
Yes. He might not be an eagle at that point.
And then he had blonde hair and he had a skull. So was the skull a human skull?
Yeah, he's back to Master White Bow now.
Okay. So Master White Bow I did not picture him blonde.
He did not turn into Draco Malfoy. I don't
know. Okay.
But yeah, I didn't either. I don't really know what I pictured him as. There was really nothing to go by there.
That was, by the
person.
Way, what you just read was one of my dumb sentences because it is all one sentence. Oh, I ejected my steel talons and plunged them effortlessly into his shoulders. Momentarily, I released my steel claws and separated his head from his body, watching intently as his blood fell unopposed to the ground below. All one sentence. That is tough to pull off.
Yeah, using talons and claws to refer to the same thing in the same sentence is pretty amazing. And they're steel. I wonder if that means that they would cause the rings not to work themselves. That could have been self-defeating.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. But then it's mop-up time, right, with the battle. He's killed Slayer.
You'd think, yeah.
General Isoro, I have some good news. Oh, great. I have defeated Slayer. Oh, wonderful. Fantastic. His army is now without command. All right.
Great.
We will go now and finish them off. now his top advisor, General Azor. Can we get them to surrender instead? He questioned. No, absolutely not. Like, well, what did you hire me for then?
Yeah. And why didn't you leave with that either? Like,
son of a, absolutely not. So no. So just no. Okay. All right. Because yeah. I had the terms, me and the other generals, we spent hours working on this while your steel talons were. This is the terms, and we were doing it. It's to save a bunch of lives, but you say no. Yeah, the answer is no. Okay.
You read those terms and conditions. You probably all should right. have had a Soro look them over, or at least
absolutely
General
Allen. Not. Do you want to talk to, oh, you don't have a second in command because you're just the king of everything. Okay. Good.
Glad I took this job instead of working yes. as a flute merchant, because it seems like there's a lot of demand for those these days. Hint, hint. He meets Mistress Lyra, who was Slayer's mistress, I guess former mistress now. And she's like, hey, you better keep the rules in mind, the rules we're making up as we go. And my God, they fight a bit more. But then, and she kills him. Mistress Lyra kills him. Without warning, a spear met my chest. I heard the bones break and felt as it pushed through my heart. I gasped for air, finding none. My lungs burned, and I fell uncontrollably from the sky. My only source of blood was miles away. White Eagle, I needed her now. What little air I had left escaped as I hit the ground. All was dark. Death found me. For, I think the third time. And then perspective shifts to Hope, and she refers to Mistress Lyra as that waste of a female who I now lusted to kill. So that's a good men writing women excerpt right there.
Oh, I'll burn it as a sentence. The Panthers, comma, tore through the demons like paper to flame, comma, effortlessly.
Yeah,
that is a tough sentence to write. That is, yeah. Wow,
that's a lot of metaphors there.
Yeah. Okay, Mistress Lyra was Slayer's mistress.
Slayer's mistress.
So
yes.
He had a wife and a family. Jasmine. They ate wolves for breakfast, I assume.
Yeah, they invited strangers over, ate, then introduced themselves. Mistress. I don't know what he means it here. I don't think he means it.
Oh,
in the
okay,
because
she's
the,
his mistress. So
yes, yes.
They have and this is their
Monchi
thing.
Has a mistress. It's yeah. It's
okay, Monchi. his mistress has got to be one of those people who comes into like with a pack of cigarettes that she just got at the station next to her and is tamping it on her arm like this. It's like, yeah. Where the hell is Monchi? Like,
yeah,
I was here. Hide me. Like, I can't hide you, Carl. Like, you're Carl Monchi. That's my name. And she's like tamping her cigarettes down and like,
I need to borrow the car.
Who's got a light? Who's got a light? Don't
I'm going
to
Atlantic
me.
City with Sheila tonight. Yeah. She's a less classy version of Susie from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yes. Monchi, get the fuck out of here!
Wow. Okay. So they all have mistresses. So Monchi and Slayer. All right.
Well, they had mistresses. Hope yes, shows up. Yeah. And then buries her claws into Slayer's mistress's chest. With all my strength, I pulled her literally in half. Mm-hmm. Now the two halves of her body hung motionless on my claws. The two halves were connected only by her intestines and some bones, which dangled from them. So I think that's I'm sure there's a Mortal Kombat fatality that looks exactly like that. In, you know, 16-bit intestines falling out of the body. And
which,
then,
if you are the person who has been cut in half, it's got to be a little bit embarrassing that it was a 13-year-old girl. You know, I mean, I don't mean to, I mean, you know, girl power, whatever, but like, whoosh, like, oh, your last words have to be like, shit. She's like got the spank bracelets or whatever. She's like, ah, her
spank
shoes
bracelets.
Light up.
What slap bracelets. Slap yes. bracelets. Yeah. Look, oh, my God. She looks like one of those Olympic gymnast girls. Oh, my God. Oh, this is awful. Man,
she cuts me in half and then does the like turning to the crowd and raising her arms.
Her last act was to call me sus. Oh, this is so embarrassing.
Oh, my God. Oh. Okay, boomer. Oh, no. I'm dead. My blood.
Oh, my intestines were full of poo. I will.
Don't eat me for breakfast like a wolf.
But as she cuts her in half, her next act is, this is pretty great, Zozer, save him, I cried, looking up to the sky. And we get a glimpse of how Zozer works. I waited for him to rise from the ground and into the air. So Zozer comes from under the ground. Though after some time, I realized I had only one more option. I took my necklace and placed it around his neck. Only then did Zozer revive him. Death had him no more.
Wow.
So that's how Zozer works. Zozer shows up and is like, necklace much? And then she has to put the necklace on him. And then he'll revive him. Don't know why or when, but...
So Zozer's like a dude from a frat house in a 90s movie, you know, like, what's that? What kind of shit do I gotta do? Zozer, dude, I'm still drunk from last night. Like, it's, yeah.
Well, it's the homecoming Zozer carnival. We gotta beat the guys from Fae to Kai, so you're in the final event. It's the chug-off.
Do you got... You got the necklace? Zozer, of course.
I can't choke unless you're wearing the necklace.
All right, let's get this done then. And then he hitches up his pants. And like.
But then it turns out at the end, the Alpha Kai pledges steal it to weaken him. And he's like, I can't do it without it. It's like, the necklace, I just got that at the thrift store. You've been able to chug all along, Zozer. You had the ability in you all this time.
Well, death has him no more.
Zozer, woo! And Senator Zozer married.
Does the whole six pack with a pen and punches them all in and drinks it all at once. Zozer!
All right. We killed Slayer and his mistress. Now we had to kill Monchi and his mistress, whoever she was. Okay. And Monchi can be found, of course, at the White Horse Tavern, where they are returning to for, I think, the third time in this section.
Okay. Spring was at hand. We reached the estate. Oh, we went inside. As we went into the living room, there stood Monchi and his mistress. So they went home, right?
Who, Monchi?
No, the two, didn't they? That's where I thought the final battle was. But is it at the White Horse? Or the?
Well, they've traveled to the White Horse now because they got, word that that's where Monchi was.
Okay,
and
okay.
Now the rules have shifted to make Monchi the thing they have to fight. And then they shifted again. I think Monchi had kind of a laugh line here. He is like, hey, Monchi, I expected an army with you in command. Have you a reason as to why you're alone? Yeah, I have a rather good reason, Master Whitebow. You killed most of my men.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I like that. It's I wish we had had more of Monchi. But then they introduced the final rule. Each couple is given it's not the final rule. Each couple is given 2 days to prepare, but only the females fight. Each master is to train the combating mistress, and everyone involved is to don the appropriate attire. Their most extravagant attire is to be worn. So they go into like the amok time thing. They're gonna have a final battle like that.
Okay, so they set the rules. That's why they're okay. I get it. So they went to the White Horse to get the rules for the final
and to be Monchi. I guess that the White Horse might be near the arena too. They finally hosed all the blood out of the arena that had pooled up there. They're ready to face off.
Okay, according to the innkeeper at the White Horse Tavern, he is awaiting our arrival at our estate.
God.
Okay, so they have to go. And then the guy's like, oh, yeah, hang on. I got to bring this plate of blooming onions over to this table. However, I was left a note by this guy. And you're supposed to munch. Do you know a monkey?
No.
It's Monchi.
Oh, Monchi. Yeah, got it.
Oh, okay. He didn't. I can't read this. Anyway, it's very dark in here. But you're supposed to go to your estate? And then he's awaiting with a... Mistress, is any of this making any sense to you? Is this at all?
Look, just do your sound. So I need to know whether I can smile or not.
They wrote me a note. They left it behind the bar. It wasn't even me. It was my day person. The day person here at the White Horse is not the same. So I'm just reading what I have. But does that make any sense to you? Monchi and his mistress are going to meet you at there.
It's like a four-day ox cart ride to our estate.
I'll show you the paper. Does that say your estate? Someone's estate. Does that make any sense?
No one else has an estate. I'm the Lord. Unless the Blue Monongo's getting cold,
I'm going to bring it over to the table. Yes, you're on your own. Thank you.
My parents loved this place, by the way. They said they were going to leave a Yelp.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. They go to the estate.
Yes.
They're going to face Monchi.
Yes.
The horniness does ratchet up.
Yes. Well, this will be fun to kill. That they're going to go. They're like, okay, oh, we're scheduled to meet them. And then he says, I think, maybe it's her. I don't know. We don't know at this point. This will be fun, killing these dreadful demons upon our land. Once we defeat Monchi and his mistress, we will have victory. So,
you know, those are the stakes.
A nice little tidy little bow on the whole proceedings. Sounds good.
And then there's three daggers that they sort of gloss over and introduce now, and they don't really matter. But then we get this, like night before the battle. Many days ago, she asked me to marry her as a mortal, but I was stubborn. Though soon we would have the chance to truly become one. Each kiss held me, filled me with desire for her. I wanted so badly to advance further than I ever had, knowing that doing so, however, would force her end. Don't remember why that is. And then it says, my lips met hers lightly. We messed around for a while before we retired for the night. So that's how they celebrate the final night before this epic battle. And we get one more breakfast scene for old time's sake. When I woke that morning, she had already started on breakfast, something I was no longer used to waking to. Breakfast, something I'll have to get used to again. The soldiers aren't exactly good cooks. A wide smile crossed her face. Breakfast was good. The meat covered in gravy and the egg and cheese mixture, the never-ending mixture, I don't know, was almost addicting. Let's just say I ate way too much.
Big, you know, like checkered napkin, honey. And then he says that the great thing about that is like, so big napkin on his tied around his neck, like, honey, you love my breakfast too much. And like pats his stomach, like, I know. We sat beside each other eating quietly and enjoying each other's company before we had to go combat demons. Honey.
Yeah.
Well, we'd better get to it, dear. You said it. I can't quit your coffee any more than I can quit these demons, am I right?
Man, I hope he didn't eat anything, because when I slice him open, exposing nothing but his intestines, I sure don't want them to be full of your delicious egg and cheese mixture.
Each half of him on either one of my claws that come out of my toe knuckles.
Observing the fight will be Slayer and his mistress, who have returned from the hellish realms. Apparently, they too wanted to see how this was to turn out. Too bad killing a demon with anything other than pure light energy is only a temporary solution. Sure, man, whatever you say at this point in time. We've got like two pages left, I think.
When you do a duel, right? Your second can sometimes shoot for
you. Yeah, or like Miss Elizabeth, the WWE manager, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Bobby the Weasel Heenan. But this is a demon witch, right?
Well, I think that's who Hope has to fight.
Okay.
That's Monchi's mistress.
Okay. All right. Oh, all right. Killing a demon with anything other than pure. Okay. So the mistress is a demon witch.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. That, at the end, I was sort of confused about that. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So then it proceeds to there's a lot of slapping, which
here's how it happens. She gets stabbed in the shoulder, her face slashed. And then she gets stabs in the leg and like can't walk. She's like crawling along. And then her reaction to that is, okay, let's end this annoying skirmish. Which I don't know. I might be a little more inclined to call it something more than that if those things had happened to me. But she goes to get the dagger from her manager, her corner man.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you can't use that. You can only use the one given to you. No, you cannot use this. You are only permitted to use the dagger given to you. She was furious at me for stopping her, though I had to keep the rules. She slapped me then. No, she slapped me, then made her way to the recovering demon. So it's sort of like the opposite of one of those wrestling managers where they usually are like slipping you the folding chair while the referee isn't looking.
Yeah, the referee's turned the other way, like doing the smelling salts under the nose. And
the but he's determined chair. to respect the rules. And so it earns him a slap.
So, all right. I got to admit, I started to get a little... She slapped me. So it's me, Master Whitebow.
Yes.
Then made her way to the recovering demon with a forceful kick. She forced her back to the ground. So does that mean the demon witch?
Yes.
The mistress, and then, Monchi's mistress?
Yes. And then she sat on her stomach and held her head to the ground as she slowly sliced the demon's throat, allowing the blood to cover her face. I realized
so,
she was
okay,
mad at
so
me.
That's hope.
Yeah, she kills Monchi's mistress, walks over to him, and says, you know, oh, there, this stupid war is over. Oh, and here's your dagger.
Okay.
And then she starts crying.
She turned silent and looked directly into my eyes, comma, then she slapped me once more across my face. And then just a little bit later, if you ever do something like that again, I'll do more than slap you, I assure you.
Wow.
So the slapping really ramped up right at the end of the book. So I was
it's
like,
pretty
all right.
Delightful. Yeah.
This Ellis stuff happens right at the end.
We can only hope, the next book we read has teenagers being slapped and or slapping.
Have you ever slapped anyone?
No, we told the whole story about me being slapped.
Yes, you were slapped that once. But I maybe I didn't tell this, but I've only slapped on stage, when you have to slap. Yeah, yeah. And so there was a class where I forget what play I was in where like the women, there was a couple slaps of me. And so the director was like, okay, let's practice this. And then there were several women who came up and just slapped me. And the director was like, no, you caught him across the ear. I'm like, holy shit.
Try it again.
To do it again.
There wasn't even a slap scene in this play. What are we doing?
A whole half an hour of people just slapping. Like, no, what you got
to do. That's the
do
janitor.
Is like, make your hand loose and just, it makes a good sound. And then they were just like, my face. I was like, okay, you next. So it just went on and on. Anyway, it just reminded me that I've never.
Maybe that's why it tickles you so much every time these teenagers get slapped in our books. That conjures back memories. Oh, my God. So the war is over. And he admits, if you had used that other dagger, humanity would have forfeited the entire war. That's, that was another one of the rules that we didn't.
The three daggers that were introduced at the very
end. A page before.
And then, a paragraph later, are just not mentioned again.
Ugh. Of course. All right. So the war is over. It's time to go back to planning a wedding.
The scheduled war is over. Okay.
How many people should we invite? I thought for a moment. They start planning. They're going to have it in their castle in Tocosia Chapel.
Different realm, right? But humans can come there because they're parents.
Humans can come. Yeah. And they think of a very clever way to explain away to these people what's going on. But first of all, if anyone out there is getting married this year, I challenge you to do this when you're trying to track down your wedding cake. He says, so I assigned her to the task while I searched for some bakery willing to make a traditional human-style wedding cake. So if you're calling one up, call the bakery in town, ask for a traditional human-style wedding cake, report back to the quote they give you and what you do when you're asking for that.
If someone, excuse me, could someone please just make that phone call and record it? That would be the greatest thing ever. Hi, this is the so-and-so bakery. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Yeah, look, I'm trying to get a human wedding cake. Like, I'm sorry, what did you... Maybe I didn't get that right.
Oh, we are doing lots of dog wedding these days. They're quite popular. So sure, we'll make a human-style one.
I want a
damn it
human style one.
No, I gotcha. We know what to do. All right, well, I will have the damn it.
All the more evidence that this is a an alien trying to pass as human writing this book, like so many of the ones we cover on this podcast.
So I assume you are going to go to this cover. This is the one where I have no idea what this means. What as they're planning for it?
The wedding is 3 weeks from today.
Today being
The 10th. Oh, sorry, this is the 10th. Anyway, unspecified.
Well, it's 23 years past 1982.
Right, but yeah, so this is, it's even faster than the wedding they were planning in the Quilter's book, where they were like, it's New Year's, we got engaged, we're going to have the wedding on Valentine's Day.
This is, I guess, the cover for it, but I read this like four times. I was like, I do not understand what this means. Most of our friends knew nothing, comma, though we just told them it was a Renaissance festival for about a week. Do you have any idea what that means?
It's the cover. I don't
tell them just, for a week, or
and I guess everyone there is
festival was a week
all along has been dressing like Renaissance people.
That's what I'm asking. That's what just does has been that mean. Most of our friends knew nothing. Okay, her friends are.
13-year-old girls. Yes. So they've been brought to Tetelequa through unspecified means. And then their main question is not, why is our friend getting married at 13? It's, why are people dressed kind of funny? And then they accept.
Yes, and they're all putting on their spank
frilled collars.
Is that what I call that?
Finally, you get one of those.
You can feel free to mock me.
I've had a lot. I've had a lot in my day. But,
so the spank bracelets and the rollies, what are the
heelys?
It
goes well with your jerklin. Yeah, jerkins.
Yes. Anyway, they tell, though we just told them it was a Renaissance festival for about a week.
And then he says, convincing, yes, the truth, not at all.
What's the week thing?
I guess so it's like, a week-long destination wedding. They're going so all like out.
You zoomed me to another dimension in your pyramid. They had no other questions? Like
other than why is everyone dressed like William Shakespeare?
But that would not be my question if someone zoomed me to another dimension and they lived in a pyramid in the third realm. I wouldn't, my questions would be like.
It'd be like, I didn't get a teacher's note for this. I'm going to fail all my classes. Like, I'm not going to get into the.
My breakfast wolf was unsatisfactory. I have so many questions.
Who is this guy? Oh, I'm Theodore. Sorry. Yeah, that's sort of my thing. I don't introduce myself until after breakfast.
But, you know, my first question would be, can you shut that flute music up? For the love of God, I cannot take this.
Well, your main question is probably who is the best man, and the answer to that is Lornan.
Of course.
And then
she's his best friend.
She chose my friend D, who was to become Empress Isabella of Rolus Tilium. And then she brought her friends Alicia, Alice for short, and Sophia. Yes. No
did
mention.
You look them up? I didn't.
No, I did not. Yeah, I didn't. Okay. But no mention of Lewis or Stephen attending this. So. Maybe in the sequel, that's what causes the next big war, is the snubbing of the wedding invite.
Lewis and his biographer. Wait, Stephen wrote about Lewis, right?
Yes. Okay. And they helped Hope to get all the shopping and stuff done, though I'm sure more time was spent just browsing the clothes. Women do that a lot. Too much for my liking. So he gets one last literal women be shopping into the into his narrative screed here. He's not a well man, our narrator, after... That's my main takeaway from this.
Whew.
And then they had the wedding. There's a chapel. Her father walks her down. And then this is, after all the buildup, this is finally what we get. Once everyone had left and we were alone, I was pleased to finally be complete in my marriage to her. That's it. We had no real honeymoon in way of leaving, for we were already where we wanted to be here in our land of Tatira. So that's like a sounds weird to say I wanted more description of the 13 and 15 year old, but come on, man, you built it up so much.
There's cooking though, right?
I guess I don't know, a wedding
but
feast.
But then this struck me as a little, I guess I didn't make this as a note. So I'm reading this live. So if I'm wrong okay. about this.
Oh, yeah, there's cooking. Yeah, the girls cooking. Cook something.
I would not be returning to the estate for about 24 hours, comma. So I made sure to steal one kiss before I went on my way. As I opened the door to the war chambers, I saw the president of the U.S., Mexico, and the leaders of Egypt. What is
U.S.
that?
Americans, yeah. I personally believe that U.S. Americans.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans. I saw the president, capitalized, of the U.S., Mexico, and the leaders of Egypt.
Yes.
That's who came to his wedding. I mean, you've got to be like a little disappointed.
Sorry, the weeks have passed. The weeks have passed, and the girls are like cooking and doing stuff around the estate.
Oh, okay. So that's weeks later.
This is, yeah, the final.
So they're like, I am a leader of U.S. Mexico. I really should get going. Like, stay for another couple weeks. The girls are cooking. Everything's going to be great. Like,
yeah. And no word on whether these were undead leaders of Egypt. Those were sort of pharaohs, unsaid. Whether they're upset about their pharaohs leaders being entombed.
Egypt. Yeah, they're the ones who killed the wraiths, right? The undead leaders of Egypt.
Yeah.
Okay. And what then, is Lithis?
Lithis is the place where, brother, I don't remember.
On their left stood the Queen of England, who is new to this book because there was a king that he talked to.
Oh, right. Yep.
Lithis's leader.
Lithis might have been that realm that they had to go to get those hostages out in like the fourth chapter or something.
But wait, Slayer's alive again?
I guess Lithis also might be the realm that they went to, the third world. That might be where Lewis took over. So that could be Lewis, Lithis's leader.
You know, but Slayer and Monchi are alive again, right?
Slayer, along with his general Monchi and their mistresses, stood in front of him. Because I guess they didn't kill him with pure light. So they had to have expected this. But they're there to witness the treaty. They're like there to sign. We all signed the document. And now it will be taken to the temple in Lutilla, which also okay. is where Hope went.
So everyone listening, next book is the sequel to this. Because obviously he said that. So we're just going to go right into it. We're not going to read anything else. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Well, let me give you how it ends.
Okay. Yes.
Much has come to pass, and now the end is near. Every book should say much has come to pass. A lot has happened, and now the end is near. The world is safe and has entered into a period of peace between the forces of good and evil.
Is that what this book was about? I did not know that.
I think it was about breakfast. I think that's one thing that we can be. I'm kind of craving some wolf, personally.
Oh, man. A good slice of wolf. Would you do your wolf, like, I would maybe want the wolf loin, where, you know, that tender part that's down the leg where they don't use the muscle. But then some people might want to, like, a slice of wolf with the spine in the middle, and then you just kind of eat around it.
Man, so. A gamier dog? I don't know if I'm even down to try it. Like,
okay.
I think I'll try bear before wolf.
Oh, wow.
Caleb's right. dream. He didn't wake up at the end. It sort of occurred to me last time that might be what's happening. But,
yep.
Hey, that's an ongoing dream.
All in a snow globe. Dreamed by a child. Yes.
Oh, that might be a little accurate. Wow, what a journey. What a journey. I didn't even know where to place it in the canon.
I know where to place it. Very, very near the bottom.
Wow. Even based on the entertainment given?
There was too much. A lot of laugh lines, but don't you think technically I think he's the worst writer? And I know that's saying a lot. I know that's saying that's a mouthful. But he is technically the worst writer.
Sure, I think it's worse than the Ellis's. I think that's...
Yeah, the Ellis's could, you know, they could craft something. This is just like he doesn't know what words mean. He doesn't know how to close a paragraph. He doesn't know what parentheses are. He doesn't know what commas, how they work. None of it. He knows
anything. Yeah, I'm just going to see if anything is technically worse. The Adventures of Teen Archaeologist, better than this.
Yeah.
Starlight Barking, better.
Better.
Artemis, way, better. I mean, you know.
Way better.
The humor, up for debate. Edison's Conquest of Mars, better. Murder in Christmas River. Super Constitution. Hard to say.
Hard to say, but I would still rank it above
Manifesto. So it's not really. It's a different scale.
Yes, sure.
Gump and Co. Antigua, Irony, Italy, Model Land. That definitely better. I'd say
better. Yes.
Model Land, Quilter's Pushback, Ready Player Two, Midnight Sun, the Twilight prequel, My Immortal. I mean,
that's, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. More of a blog. So, our Digital Fortress, Moon People, Shadow Moon. This was I liked it more than Shadow Moon, the process of reading it, because it just had more funny lines. True. Yes. Lair of the White Worm, Trucking Through Time, The Mr. Bob Honey, Forensic Certified Public Accountant. You know,
I was thinking about that. I would still put him as technically slightly better as a writer. I don't know what I'm saying. That doesn't talk about the quality of what ends up on the page. I'm just saying technically, I think he's the worst writer.
Yes. And if the ones we're questioning are My Immortal and Super Constitution, it's, you know, Tumblr blog or manifesto scrawled in a bathroom. Yeah,
scrawled with feces. So
a low bar. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it was more entertaining than some of those books. But
That's true. I agree. I'm just saying on a technical level, I think he's the worst writer we've ever encountered. Now, Jim Tice, you could argue, but I don't know. It would be a tough battle between the two.
I think the real competition is Dwight David Thrash and
I think that's true too.
Let's do some dumb sentences because this is going pretty damn long.
Okay.
It's time for the dumb sentence of the week.
All right, that sentence theme was by Hayden, who did the one from the last episode too. We forgot to mention or credit him or even acknowledge that. And we feel terrible about that because Hayden is a loyal listener and a loyal Patreon supporter. And we are we will munchy ourselves out of shame, I think.
I have offline. I'm going to slice Connor in half with both my toe knuckles and hold up both sides of him. But no, we are. Sorry.
Zozer standing by.
Yes, we dropped the ball on that. Apologies, but nice theme.
And we'll post pictures of Mike's disemboweling of me on the Patreon over at patreon.com/372pages.
So many pictures.
Go join so you can be on the next book before everyone else, because this might be one that you want to be there on day one with, because it'll be very exciting. Here are the dumb sentences, though, from everybody else. Terry submitted, "Well, I do suppose losing your army is a good reason for not having one." I think that was our hero cracking wise at Monchi.
Nice.
Elizabeth, "He now took to the center of the room and with much haste began to take the excess pillows from the bed and heave them into the already large fire." Balaji and Amanda both submitted, "Listen, your Taliquins, transform into whatever it is you transform into and make your way there." And Balaji said, "Yeah, and do a variety of 80s dance moves on the way, I guess." Loki submitted, "So I assigned her the task while I searched for some bakery willing to make a traditional human-style wedding cake." Mike submitted, "As I began to look out the window nearby, I heard a servant calling to me." And he said, "Looking out a window is not a process with a beginning. You either haven't done it yet or you're already doing it." Mark, the book discoverer, submitted, "Food?" That was a sentence.
Yes.
He said, "Yes, Caleb, food." Shima submitted, "The Naval Force, N-A-V-E-L, it's in the province of Usoji because it protruding out into the ocean."
I noted that as well, but didn't. I was like, all right, there's just too much to go through. I did note that.
Amy submitted, "Here it will be overlooked by the temple priests there." I think that's like the document at the end. She said, "I don't think he knows what overlooked means." She means like supervised.
The temple priests of the temples of Syrinx?
Exactly. We will overlook the document. Hayden. Hey there, there we go. Submitted, "Hope, wake up," I said silently as I continued to shake her. He said, "Perfect, that's my entire takeaway from this book." Nathan submitted, "That's as shame." That's a whole sentence. Voluntari submitted, "The night came quick and we were alone. The floor warm under the covers. Buffalo was always warm." And they wondered, why is Thorm Drumheller under the covers with them?
Oh,
nice. The floor warm under the covers.
Yes, forgot that.
Alejandro and Elliot submitted, "Those rings will become something more in the upcoming future," that parenthetical. And they are the ones who pointed out that that is the last mention of the rings. Michael submitted, "Beef, of course. Theo just butchered a cow 2 weeks ago." And he said, "They're putting two-week-old beef in their stew. Does Teotihuacan have freezers or at least refrigeration?" He says, "I know they move in and out of this realm for the modern United States, and in theory, they could have just had access to these things, but with all the references to stock fantasy castles and monarchies within the other realms, I didn't imagine Teotihuacans to have a grasp of thermodynamics or the Carnot cycle." And I read that whole thing because I think Michael just wanted to name drop the Carnot cycle somehow.
I don't know the Carnot cycle.
It's some sort of heat transfer. It had a Wikipedia page I could not understand.
Okay. All right.
He also wondered if Caleb wrote the last chapter a decade after the rest. It was more competently written, but still bad. He actually learned how to close quotes for the most part.
Yeah. So, I'd have to look back. I'm not going to look back on it.
No, I certainly will not. I think if people have some emails, if they have final thoughts about this, write them in. We'll maybe do a wrap-up mailbag if we get enough.
Sure, yes.
We don't have time now. But yeah. Milo submitted, "You know how in war, well, in way of tactics, that things don't usually go the way you want them to?"
Yes.
And Milo said, "That's like something right out of Sun Tzu."
Yes. Boots on the ground. Yeah, nice.
Mike submitted, "Although for now he continues to go about his daily routine of studying the arcane arts, books from his great library fall upon tables that surround his once large but ever seemingly claustrophobic chair." He said, "I'd be claustrophobic too if books were falling off the shelves all around me. Also, wouldn't a once large claustrophobic chair be a bench?" Don't try and parse it, man. Jay submitted, "Let's just say that I ate way too much." Yes. And said that would be good on a tombstone. Jim said, Jim submitted, "The Panthers tore through the demons like paper to flame effortlessly," and pointed out what an incredibly mangled metaphor. And Harris submitted, "Directly don't stop unless it be you're watering your horse go." And he said, "I kept thinking of how much more epic other rallying speeches would be if they contained minor logistical points. And I'm not even bothering with the B because I'm numb to it by now. Directly don't stop unless it be you're watering your horse go." That's a great sentence. This was the first sentence of the section. "The wall was jagged and thus split my skin." This was a sentence. "Welcome, King and Queen and..." And then my last one was, "Go quickly and inform her that I will send the undead Egyptians to aid her." It's remarkably dumb and barely badder than I added in this book.
Oh, gosh. Well, I have a few, so I'll pare them down. Bo's dad's attack slashed the demon's face, comma, and blood was the result. And this is a complete sentence. "That of which was..." I'll start it again, sorry. "That of which was our original location and the start of this whole mess."
Oh, my God.
That's a sentence.
Ouroboros.
This is good. This was not mentioned. And then maybe I'll stop here. "The natural fire, comma, of which still found my likeness, popped and crackled within the hearth far to the left of the... on the eastern wall from where our large bed sat."
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'll stop there. There's no reason to go out on further. "The natural fire, comma, of which still found my likeness, popped and crackled within the hearth far to the left on the eastern wall from where our large bed sat." People, we read this book. We read the whole thing.
Wow. Well, thank you for sticking with us. Those of you who did read the book along, it was quite a journey. I don't know about you, but breakfast?
I've got a wolf out front. You want to?
Yeah, 2 weeks old. Let's make it
hack it up.
Yeah.
Well. 2 weeks. Sounds good.
thanks for reading along, everybody.
Yeah, get your toe knuckles ready for the next book, everyone. So long.